much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is exciting.
I gotta be honest with you. Right out of the gate, I'm not enjoying myself at all.
It's not a good way to start.
Look, let's just bang this sucker out. We'll be done with it and we go on with our lives.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If there's one thing I'm known for, it's my muffin.
That's what she said.
Ay, ay, ay. That explains why he doesn't like tacos.
Pop singer $ha revealed that she wears her own placenta as a necklace. She said, quote, I have a belief that if I wear my placenta in a necklace, there's a possibility of me gaining second sight, like being psychic. So tell me, Kesha, do you win or lose Celebrity Fit Club 5 years from now?
And now,
wow, I'd really like penis.
Our feature presentation.
So, they're dead?
So we're just going to wait?
Well, I saw Kevin was in. I figured eventually he'd make it on the air if we gave him a little extra time.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was good.
All right, we should start by saying, if you haven't seen Lost last night, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to be taking your phone calls on any topic. Coming up next, 1-800-520-1067. Be the first to get on the air for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew for a new week. Call right now. If you haven't seen Lost, it's not on anybody to protect you from spoilers today. It's the kind of event that people need to see when it happens. You can't complain if you hear about it today and you haven't seen it yet because you were busy last
night.
It'll
help.
Are you guys with me, though?
Yes. I'm saying like it'll help. Like it'll make any difference.
There are just some events that are so big that you have to understand that most people watched it last night that are interested in seeing it. So you're going to hear spoilers today. And if you don't want spoilers, you got to stay away from radio and TV and internet. It's on you. So
Jack's dad is alive. That's what we get from that.
No, Jack's dad is not alive.
Okay.
Dad is dead, just like
I saw
everyone.
Him talking to Jack.
Right, because they're dead. Everyone in the whole world is dead.
Everyone in the world is dead.
Seriously? Because I stopped watching a couple of years ago.
Oh, you did? Oh, you didn't even watch last night?
I didn't watch.
Oh.
I don't watch.
Even the people who you had no reason to think were dead, the people that you never saw die, the Hurleys of the world and the Cates of the world and the Sawyers of the world, all those people, apparently, inexplicably, they're all dead also.
Wait a minute. Saying everyone in the world is dead?
Well, we don't know
everyone
that.
On the island. Everyone on the island is dead.
They've been dead?
Oh, God, who knows?
Who knows? Look.
Here comes Ralph.
Ralph with a frustrated look on his face.
Ralph will be defending it all day long.
Only Kevin can make this more frustrating and confusing.
How dare you?
No, Kevin's right, though. Everyone on the island is dead, even people that we had no reason to suspect were dead.
Is that right?
That's why they all got together in the church at the end. Even people who had not died were now dead for some reason.
Well, no, they had not died. They have died.
All of them?
Yes. In the past and in the future. There's no timeline when it comes to the next life, whatever that is.
What? So you're saying people who die in the future are there too?
Yes.
What?
Well, obviously.
Well, it's not obvious. First of all, nothing is obvious when it comes to Lost.
Well, they couldn't have explained it more crystal clearly than they did at the end of it.
No, I heard Jack's dad say, there is no now here. I got that. But that
these are all the people that spend time on the island in the past and the future. Everyone dies at some time, and when they're all dead, they come together to work out who they were in their lives and to come back to be together. That's why they have to be together in order to move on to the next level.
First of all, how bogus is it that you would spend eternity with the people that you crashed in a plane on an island and not your friends and family and husbands and wives and sons and daughters and all the people that you left behind when you got on the plane?
Well,
first of all, how bogus is that?
Well, first of all, almost everyone who came to the island was alone. That's why Jacob picked them. And it was the most important part of their lives on Earth, what the time and the things that they did on that island.
So those people were the most important.
Exactly. They were the most significant, most influential people in their lives. They meant the most to them.
Like, you mean all those years that we saw Hurley slobbering over his mom? He was so close to her, for instance.
Didn't matter compared to the years he spent as the number one guarding the island.
So
in the future. He spent many years beyond what you saw with Jack of guarding that island, him and Ben together, working together to protect that island, for many years into the future. And then when he finally died, he got reunited with the people that meant the most to him.
And that didn't make any sense either, that Hurley all of a sudden would care nothing but about protecting the island. Like, why? That wasn't his job. That wasn't his mission. Why did he all of a sudden decide he wanted to be that guy?
He took it on. Because he had,
why?
Because Jack told him he had to.
Because that experience had changed him. He grew up at that moment. He, at that moment, decided to be responsible and to do what he did best. Like Jack said, take care of people.
Fate rarely calls upon us at a moment of our choosing.
That's right. So the dog didn't die, though. The dog's fine.
Vincent. Oh, how awesome was it to see Vincent again?
He's fine, though, right? I mean, he wasn't in the church.
Well, all dogs don't go to heaven.
Oh. Yeah.
But
oh.
neither were Michael and Walt, for that matter.
Michael and Walt.
Well, Michael said it on the island that he's not going to move on. He is doomed to wander the island being one of the whispering voices in the jungle. He said that when he appeared to Hurley.
But I thought he and Walt got off season two.
Walt got off and led another life.
Oh, I see.
Obviously, his time on the island wasn't as important as what he did with the rest of his life.
I see. Okay.
Walt and Michael is doomed to a purgatory of becoming one of the whispering voices on the island, not to move on to the next level, which would be heaven or whatever you consider it to be.
It certainly seems like, by the way, I won't say I didn't enjoy it. It's a very great actors, great writing, some great scenes. Ultimately, not satisfying for me because I think they continued to play out the direction they'd been going this year, which was the Flash sideways, which we've talked about, which I didn't care about anyway.
But didn't they kind of all come together at the end, the Flash sideways and...
Well, the Flash sideways wasn't really a Flash sideways at all. That was the big reveal. So what we were watching wasn't an alternate universe.
It was them
moving on to the next level of their lives in heaven or whatever that, you know, whatever your belief system is.
Yeah, a 2.5 hour show last night, and every 10 minutes we got to watch two more characters reach the exact same conclusion over and over and over again. I understand that about the Flash, but it does.
I wish you would have a Flash sideways.
It does seem like the entire season, especially this season, they really ramped up good versus evil, dark versus light. You know, Jacob versus the Man in Black,
right.
And then just all of that went out the window last night. Threw it all away. Didn't matter at all. Never revisited it. Went in a completely different direction, which was all about relationships. Kind of then started focusing on the people and who they love.
Oh, stupid people. Stupid love and relationships.
No, but I'm saying...
Damn them.
I'm saying that's an aspect of the story, and obviously no one cares about the show unless you've got characters that you're invested in. I get that. I respect that. But I'm also saying, how about 20 episodes in a row of Dark versus Light that they didn't even mention last time?
How
what
about
all
they
that?
Killed the smoke monster? How about that?
That's a pretty good
resolve.
Yeah.
Good versus
that.
Evil, good wins. Pretty good. Pretty good
left
resolution.
Left this reviewer cold.
Oh, die.
Kill
die
them.
So hard. Die in flames.
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 Why flames?
Because it'll hurt more?
What about a bullet?
Because it'll be too quick. Too good for him.
All right.
Flames.
I couldn't be... If you enjoyed the show, Ralph, and it sounds like you did.
Enormously.
Because you've become a lost apologist this season quite a bit. You must be extremely relieved, though. Relieved and happy then the way it ended. So you're happy now, and now I'm happy because it's over and I get an hour of my life back a week.
You'd never had to watch, by the way. Always had that choice. Didn't have to watch.
Too invested.
No one
forced you. Can't
you.
Give up.
No, Lisa
you
did. It's fine. Lisa gave up. She moved on. You move on. Just let go.
Lisa,
let go and move on. That's the point of the whole thing last night. Move on and let go,
it's
man.
It's time to let go, Kate said.
Now, I liked the show too much to give up on it because
we can tell.
I had...
You've just been gushing over it all season long.
I'm being consistent.
You were
here.
Too
I liked
invested.
The show. I liked the show too much. Enjoyed too many of the actors. Thought the writing was too good on too many occasions to just abandon it without hope that it was going to come back around and be good. It didn't end up getting there, but I still don't regret that I saw it.
Loved the finale. Shed a tear. That's how much
I thought
loved
it got there, and I did too.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. Very, very just. It got almost spiritual and biblical at the end of this season, and I really loved the sincerity and the commitment they spent to those relationships, to the love that certain characters had with each other, to that resolution of the bigger themes of what the series was about. I really enjoyed it.
I got the same overall feeling. I just didn't understand why.
So that's okay. You let that art wash over you, right. And it evoked an emotion, and that's what good art's supposed to do.
If you were to ask me specifics, I wouldn't have any idea, but I liked it. I'm just not sure why.
I thought it was great because everyone was expecting a big reveal regarding what was going on the island.
Right.
And they just stayed true to the path on the island, but they gave you the reveal with what was going on with those Flash sideways all season long. So you got your cake and eat it too regarding all the theories that had ever happened about Lost. People saying, oh, it must be purgatory or heaven or something. You got it both.
So if you come across a waterfall, and then at the bottom of it, there's a giant plug. Don't pull it out?
Don't pull it out. Okay. That would be the answer.
All right.
I don't know what that means.
Leave the stone in the hole.
But I will remember that.
Just remember that.
Leave the stone in the hole.
You don't even have to watch the show to get that point. Just don't
pull
it
out. Okay, don't pull it out.
No.
And that's why Desmond was the weapon against Smoke Monster, because they knew if he were to take that out, if that energy were to stop, Smoke Monster would become human again and thereby vulnerable. And that's how they killed him.
But then they had to put it back in.
Well, yeah, in order to save the island.
So you can take it out for a little.
But put it right
back. But make sure you can put it right back in.
All right. Ralph, didn't it seem... I'll save that for later because we're already running late. And I know we're going to be talking about the show later. But I do have some other questions since you seem to have answers. I will ask.
I don't have answers. I just have my impression, what I was left with when it came to the
Let me just say one final thing before we move on and talk about today's Kevin Bean Show. And I think we can all agree on this. How much hotter did Shannon get since the last time we saw her? What's that about?
Yeah, she was pretty hot.
Wow.
Well, she...
I'd forgotten.
She has all grown up, first of all.
Yeah,
and second of all, she didn't get a chance to put on a lot of makeup and the evening dresses on the island, I think. That helped a lot, too. She certainly sweetened up her look. And her Shannon Boone at the end. Love it! Loved everybody! Loved Rose, loved Bernard. Taking care of Vincent, living in the little Gilligan's Island hut. Loved it.
This is new Ralph now that he has a kid, by the way. That's what this is. Ralph, a year ago, comes in hating this show because he hated people. But
Ralph loved this show the whole week.
I came down at Unlost when I thought they went off the rails with that whole Nikki and Paolo debacle when that was all happening and stuff.
That was weak.
But I thought they brought it back again a couple of years ago and have just been going strong to the end, and I was moved.
Well, good for you.
All right.
Well, good for you. Says Ebenezer.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, let's talk more about
I find that hard to believe. Let's talk about Mary Lynn Rice Cub, who is, of course, the star of 24.
Got off the island or did not get off the island last night?
Tonight is the series finale for 24.
Tonight!
Yes.
And she is going to try to win the mirror ball for dancing?
Yes, and become the Celebrity Apprentice.
How many commercials did they have for Dancing with the Stars last night during Lost?
And The Bachelorette.
100 and The
Bachelorette's coming back, everyone.
It's the most romantic night on TV.
Bring on the boys. She's ready.
So, 24, by the way, which I've seen.
Awesome. Have you seen the finale?
Yes.
You have? Wow. Yes. Do you have a deep understanding of that show as well?
Yes.
Do you live in the future?
I live in the future, yes.
Is that a slide forward?
That one is not as confusing as Lost. That one's pretty straightforward. He's just trying to stop everyone from killing everyone.
We like better. Gun go bang.
We'll talk about Lost in the series finale and
so good.
What happened.
So good.
We'll talk about Nicolas Cage and his strange... The strange way that he decides which meat to eat.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Ralph reported on the story last week, and it is that if they have romantic sex, he'll eat them.
Yeah, based on the kind of sex they have.
If they don't have romantic sex, he's out.
So that's their reward?
I guess.
For being romantic?
Some people, it's about having a face.
Maybe
some people, it's about how they bang.
Maybe he hates romance.
Could be.
Or loves it so much he wants to eat it.
Well, that could be.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have your weenie roast tickets as well, by the way. We've got a title fight brewing. And I got to tell you something. Bean, you weren't here last week, but Dave the King of Mexico is too big for his britches.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he did very well.
He's taken on Miss Cleo twice now and just is mouthing off and, oh, I'm the best.
Well, he beat Miss Cleo. How proud he must be.
But he's been rubbing it in. So
he came in first at the Special Olympics?
So today,
congratulations, Dave.
We're going to do King of Mexico against Ralph. Ralph is the reigning king.
Right.
Oh, bring on some real competition.
Well, I've done very well for a long time. But
I'd say you're the reigning king.
No, we'll see.
Of this game. And we're going to give you a chance to play in about 20 minutes. So that's coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Bean.
You're dead. Then I thought my dad was dead, and I looked in the coffin, and he wasn't in there, and then he talked to me, and then he told me I was in heaven.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 5:54.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, so you're telling me that weenie roast thing is less than 2 weeks away?
It's a week from Saturday, yeah.
How about that? Yeah. This is a great lineup with Sublime, with Rome, STP, Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftone, Spoon, Chevelle, Cage, The Elephant, Dirty Heads, Against Me, Temper Trap, Pinch, Passion Pit. Almost too much to say in one breath.
Wow.
If you want to go, you can earn those tickets. Kevin and Bean's title fight coming up in about 15 minutes. You have to be on hold a little bit, but you can call right now if you'd like to be a contestant. Do so at 1-800-520-1067. Time for our first look at the show biz beat. Now, here's Ralph Garman.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Shrek Forever After, the fourth and, they say, final Shrek of the franchise did very well this weekend, as expected. Not quite as much as they were projecting, but still $71 million.
Wow.
Pretty good.
They were projecting
really?
More than that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Especially since it's in 3D, I think they 3D. Reasonably could have expected, you know, $80-90 million, right?
Just yeah. because of the same amount of tickets, but it costs more
right.
per ticket?
A little yeah. extra cash when it comes to the 3D.
Yeah.
Still good enough to make that number one by far, because Iron Man 2 came in at number two with $26.6 million. So that was, you know, 50 mil difference or so. Robin Hood was third. Letters to Juliet was fourth. Just Right came in at five. MacGruber! In its debut weekend, Mitch made a little over $4 million, made it number six at the box
Ouch.
Office this week.
Four, not great.
Not great.
No.
Date Night was seventh. How to Know a Nightmare on Elm Street was eighth. How to Train Your Dragon was ninth. And then Kites was tenth. Anyone?
Kites.
I thought it was a foreign film and
kites?
Some sort of romance.
Someone loves a kite? Someone humps a kite.
Flying kites?
I don't know.
Someone humps a kite in his tail.
I don't know.
I don't either. Bean?
No.
What?
I was on
I thought you had to stay current.
I was on vacation last week. I didn't stay as current as usual. I didn't even know Shrek was coming out on Friday until this morning.
Wow.
I find that hard to believe because every
too.
Time we email you, you are online and could get back to us right away, even on vacation. So we figured you were staying current even on vacation.
Yeah, I don't know kites. I'm sorry.
Sometimes he answers before we hit send.
That's
it's
right.
really bizarre. He just kind of can sense
the amazing
we're gonna...
Kreskin. yeah. You know, we're all talking about Lost and what it'll mean to us now that it's all over. Interesting take on this, though, however, is in the Wall Street Journal today. They take a look at how it will impact the economy of Hawaii.
Oh,
now the
wow.
production is no longer there.
Interesting.
You have to keep in mind that the show provided full-time work for over 800 local Hawaiians.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Wow. And lots of extra income for approximately 1,200 suppliers of food and technology and electronics and things that they just needed to keep that show up and running. So they say Hawaii's state economy will take quite a hit. In their post-lost life, so.
Not only that, by the way, just having Hawaii images in your living room every week probably did a lot for tourism. People
yeah.
looking at that going, wow, that's beautiful.
Wow, I can't wait to go there and have a polar bear attack me and then a big column of smoke throw me through the jungle. No, thank you.
I don't think I want to go to that
I'm going to Aruba. And how weird is this? Remember Brittany Murphy, who
yeah.
passed away
yeah.
5 months ago?
Right.
At the age of 32?
It was a shocker.
Her husband, Simon Monjak, was found dead in his Hollywood home.
What?
Yeah. TMZ says he was found unconscious in the master bedroom by Brittany's mother, Sharon. They were living together.
Huh.
As of yet, police say the cause of death was unknown. But his death now just 5 months after Brittany Murphy's. So
wow.
it's weird. That is very strange.
And that dude was creepy, too. There was something weird about him, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on between him and Brittany's mom and everything. The whole thing just seemed a little shady.
And Brittany's mom found her daughter as well and found the husband. So
oh my
she's
God.
Knocking them off one by one.
Is she Dexter?
It's the Black Widow.
What's happening here?
Another day, another Lindsay Lohan drama. This time, TMZ's got photos of Lindsay hanging out with two of her friends. And, of course, in front of them is a coffee table. And, you know, on the coffee table in front of them just happens to be big lines of a suspicious mm-hmm. white powder.
Sugar.
Could be anything. Could be sugar. Could be cornstarch.
Yes. It could
be baking powder.
It could be that
could
as well.
Could be talcum powder. Could be baby powder.
Probably not baby powder.
I've been to so many parties where they put lines out of talcum powder.
Oh, yeah. As a new father, I know the best way to put baby powder on your child's butt is to draw lines on a coffee table and then just dab your child into the lines of powder on the coffee table.
That is the best
set them right there on the table.
That's
yeah.
what they teach you at the NICU. Lindsay's lawyer is claiming she was set up because, wait for it, Lindsay's lawyer says she didn't even know that powder was there.
Of course.
Of course.
Actually, I believe that because if Lindsay known that powder was there, it would have been gone before anybody could take a picture of it. So, maybe they're speaking the truth in this case. Speaking
hey,
of Lindsay.
She's so
yes,
dumb.
Tell me, give me the timeline here, because I was out of touch a little bit last week. So she basically blew off the judge, lied, and said her passport was stolen,
How
right?
dare you? First of all, there were Icelandic volcanoes to deal with.
Oh, there was that. Okay. Yeah.
And then her passport was mysteriously stolen.
Couldn't she have thought of that before she decided to go to Europe to party 4 days before she was supposed to be in court, though?
Sure, she could have.
Yeah.
Don't apply logic.
And then they issued a bench warrant, and then she came back, but they did not arrest her, right?
Right, because she put up the bail. She put up a bail for that bench warrant.
So what happens now?
And everyone thought, oh, she's fine now. She's going to skate. She won't do any time. However, there is another hearing this morning on a separate issue regarding whether she has violated the terms of her probation or not.
Ah.
If the judge finds that to be the case, she could spend up to 180 days in jail.
With good time, that equals
an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The judge, I think, is serious about this because the judge in the case is on vacation.
Uh-oh.
However, she is taking a day off of her vacation to come back into court just to be there for this particular meeting.
Uh-oh.
Awesome.
That sounds bad.
You don't want to anger a judge.
Oh, she's coming. Forget vacation. I'm going in.
I'm going in.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens today.
But yeah, that's real talk right there, man.
That is.
That judge is exactly what Lindsay needs, too, because I saw how she basically just shut up to Lindsay's attorneys when they were trying to give her all that BS about why she couldn't be there. She wasn't having any of it.
Yeah. Well, apparently part of the deal is she's got to wear one of those alcohol monitoring bracelets.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Rapper Heavy D.
Yeah, celebrates the overweight lover.
His 43rd birthday today. One of our favorite actors. One of our favorite actors around here, John C. Reilly, is 45. Alfred Molina. Very talented British actor, soon to be seen in that new Prince of Persia movie. He is 57 years old today. Patti LaBelle, singer, is 66 years old. Tommy Chong of Cheech and is 72 years old. And singer Bob Dylan, our old buddy Bob, celebrates his birthday today. So, happy birthday, Bob. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
A chase through Van Nuys onto the 101 West. A crash, confrontation, a drawn knife, and police open fire. Suspects dead, one officer possibly hurt, and traffic a mess. Russian roulette? Police think something like that happened in Mid-City, where a 15-year-old girl died, hit in the back by a bullet fired from a gun that her boy companion may have thought was empty. If you don't get it together, we'll step in. Angry feds warning BP.
I am angry and I am frustrated that BP has been unable to stop this well from leaking and to stop the pollution from spreading.
Interior Secretary Salazar, one day delay Wednesday, they may do the top kill, an effort to block the blown out well completely. Not wearing your seatbelt? Try again. A click it or ticket crackdown begins statewide now through the 6th of June. Thanks to the Orange County AIDS Walkers, Saturday, pledge totals approaching 300,000. Mostly sunny, 60s and 70s. It's 56 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, apparently Kevin was in an automobile accident. We're going to get the details. At least we know he's alive. He's here, but you'll tell us what happened in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Or is he dead? Or we're going to look in the coffin and he's not in there. And then he tells us we're going to the next level.
Coming up just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we get to give away some tickets for the Weenie Roast 1 week from Saturday. Phenomenal lineup. Your chance to win them right now with the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Maybe he is dead.
Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Title Fight has been a popular game on our show for a number of years, and it's based on, it's the $10,000 pyramid. That's the game we're playing here, essentially. Right, Ralph?
It is.
Remember the old TV show?
Yeah, you have to give clues to a word or phrase and try to get the person to say that in a limited amount of time.
In this particular game, it's going to be band names, and you can't use abbreviations for the band name, and you can't use song titles.
Right. You have to describe the actual words in the name of the band.
Right. And we have Shane. Hi, Shane.
Hey, good morning.
One of our competitors. And then we have Becky on the other line as our other competitor. Hi, Becky.
Hi.
All right. Now, this is kind of a grudge match because not really.
We don't have any grudge together.
It's the best of the best, you know.
We've been playing in the same league for years.
Yeah. It's the top two teams going at it.
Dave's like an upstart rookie coming into the league, and I'm the old man.
That's correct. Ralph's, he's got some experience. He's been so far our best, but Dave's coming on strong and mouthing off a lot. I got to be honest.
Well, here's the thing. Dave played Cleo.
Yeah.
So, really. And I used to play Lisa. So, yeah. who knows how good we are, really, is what I'm saying.
Well, we're about to find out.
Yeah, I guess we will.
Yeah.
All right, so 45 seconds on the clock. If you're a first-time contestant or haven't heard the game before, it's important to know that if you are just blanking on it, you can pass and then come back to it later. And sometimes that's a good strategy because sometimes you don't even need the one that turns out to be tough for you. You can do pretty well without it. So, Shane, who do you want to be your partner here today? You want to go with Ralph or you want to go with Dave?
I'm going to go with Ralph.
All right, you're gonna go with Ralph. So why don't we let why don't we make them go first then, since he got to pick his partner?
So Dave goes first.
No, you guys go first. Go ahead.
No, so Ralph will go first. We'll go first. Since he gets his choice of his partner, we'll give him the pressure of going first, and then Becky will have Dave right afterwards.
How many names are on the list? I haven't looked at the list.
There are five with a tiebreaker.
Five with a tiebreaker. Yes. So we're trying to get five, Shane, in what, 40 seconds?
45 seconds.
45
seconds. And you'll hear the clock, and you'll hear the buzz. You ready?
Do it.
Go.
This is not a fork or a knife, but a...
spoon.
Okay. A bear is caught in one of these. A wolf gets caught in one of these out in the wild.
Elephant.
No. If I'm angry, I've got a bad...
temper trap.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, if I hear a note, a musical note, it has
that
a...
tone.
There we go. The big gray animal at the zoo, it's kept in this thing with bars.
Elephant.
Yep. Okay. Oh, this feeling is so wonderful. I feel so amazing.
That's it.
No, this is the ancient center of Italy.
Rome.
Right? What's the? How do you feel so good? I feel wonderful.
Pass.
That's the last one, buddy.
Okay, not bad.
That was a good
job. Were so close. You were so close.
Sublime with Rome.
Sublime with Rome.
Oh, man.
Wow. See, the feeling is sublime. You got the Rome just so close to putting it together. But look, four is good because I've heard Dave play before, so you're going to be okay.
Shane, congratulations. Hold on. We're going to bring Becky in. Now, Dave, how does it feel to go up against four instead of zero like you had to against this deal?
Well, I'm going to have to be a little quicker now because before I was able to take my time.
Right.
Now, you know.
All right, Becky, are you
Becky,
ready?
You better be awesome because
I
am.
Yeah. I'm
going to
try.
All right. Oh, don't try. Just do.
All right. Now, needs to get five
you,
to win.
Five to win.
Four
to tie.
We'll have to go to a tiebreaker, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Go.
All right. Let me read this. All right. let's see. Pass. All right. It's an airplane and a rock. Come
airplane.
On. Yeah.
Oh, Stone Temple Pilots.
All right. If you're oh, crap. Let's see.
Come on.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, this was my fault. If you're... crap. It's a deep love. It's a deep love.
Deep love?
Yes. It's another...
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not for your...
paramour?
Wow. That's
in the last question.
Wow.
Wow.
Dave, you froze.
Dave, goddamn hole. Dave, you are required to buy tickets with your own money and send them to Becky. Oh, my God.
You
failed her. On that one.
Oh, you failed her.
Goddamn hole. Okay. All right, let's revisit this for a second, Dave. What about you're putting a fence post in? What do you dig? I mean, there's a million ways to get to a hole.
Dig a blank.
Yeah. What about paramour? Hey, it's the opposite of less. At least give them something to work with.
Oh, Dave. You might say when you don't have a clock ticking behind you, isn't it a big boy right
oh,
there?
Oh, Mr. Big Talker.
Yeah. Big. Oh, it's easy now.
Dave, for the first 20 seconds, you did nothing. It was unbelievable.
Happy, that's why.
Becky, I'm so sorry.
I feel so bad for Becky.
It's not your fault, Becky.
I'm so sorry.
Well, you lost in a big way because you
got one,
it wasn't your fault.
You
wasn't
lost
fault.
Before you even and got a I'm chance gonna, to play.
And I'm even going to say Becky was bad.
What?
Becky
How
was not
dare
bad.
You?
She didn't get work with.
She came
no,
up with
Stone Temple.
Oh, please.
Just being Dave. A woman, you know.
Oh, Dave.
She's bad.
Just take your responsibility
bad.
For you being
it was
terrible.
It Becky, wow. All her fault.
All right, Becky. Thank
wow.
you for playing.
Becky.
We apologize. Shane, you're going wow. to the show. You picked the right person.
I'd like to thank Dave.
Yeah, you should.
You should.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Dude, seriously, what the f*** is up with Blind Melon? How did that crappy song make it back onto the playlist? It was a goddamn song way back in 1989 or whatever the f*** came out originally. It sucked then. It sucks now. Shannon Hoon is a dead, dirty f*** hippie.
Dude,
and will wow. always be a dead, dirty f***. We need
right.
to get that
okay.
off the radio
right.
now because it
What's
sucks.
It? So you enjoyed it and want to hear it again. Okay, your request has been counted. Thank you very much for the call, sir.
We'll play it again. Yeah, thank you. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about the Lost series finale coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Because I'm still don't have any idea what went on. Plus, Mary Lynn Ricegub.
Oh, cool.
From
yeah.
24. They have the series finale tonight.
Yeah.
Now, I know that we were promising information about my car accident, but we actually gave that last week. We're actually going to do a feature right now called
That's That Tweet.
Bean! It's a new feature that we have.
Come on.
Wait, did
how are
we
you come at me
Bean?
Like that?
It's a new feature called...
It says on the schedule Kevin's car accident.
It does.
Yeah, that was
how
a,
did that happen?
That was a gardener that ran into my car almost three times, Bean. Backed up, wow. Hit my car, pulled forward, back up, hit my car... Pull forward, put it in reverse again, and I honked. I was like, hey, isn't there something in you that wants to know what's stopping your car going backwards?
Good time.
That was the story, but now it's...
That's That Tweet.
Bean! Oh, how, this is how you come at a man first day back from vacation.
Because while Bean is on vacation, he's still haunting us with his facts.
It's worse because he doesn't have this outlet. I think.
He doesn't,
by
the way, talk to us,
boiling
so he tweets
over.
It.
Yes.
You guys won't believe this because you Dr. never let facts stand in the way of a good opinion. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That's just a mistake. Sorry.
You guys won't believe this because you don't like facts to stand in the way of your opinions.
Correct.
But I was on the computer very little during the vacation and tweeted very little. Maybe once or twice a day, tops.
Then how did you do such bad stuff if that's all you did? Once or twice a day, your average should have been higher.
Well, what are you talking about there? What are you
That's
talking
That
about?
Tweet.
Bean!
Well, we have a few of your tweets that we'd like to highlight.
Okay.
Sadness! Just realized my vacation is half over today. I don't miss work at all, except for talking to King of Mexico and Psycho Mike.
That's That
Tweet.
Bean!
Why is that a bad? Is that a bad tweet? That was a shout out to my friends that I wasn't talking to, wasn't seeing much last week.
Right, but then for everyone else, they go, "Hey, he missed. He didn't miss us.
He just missed them.
Just That's King just and Psycho. You didn't say anything about Lisa or Alex or Ralph or me.
You come back and I say, friends. "Oh, we missed you, Bean."
But we're just saying it was a little rude. That's all.
It's a lot rude.
Here's another one.
Every couple of years, I rediscover what a brilliant singer Bing Crosby was.
Oh, my God.
Okay, now...
If you're doing one to two tweets a day, how does that make it?
Because instead of getting up and doing this show, I get up and I'm able to listen to whatever I want in the morning. And one day, I pulled out some of the Bing Crosby albums and had them going. And I just was really having a great time enjoying myself. I thought I'd share. Maybe there are other people out there who might also enjoy Bing Crosby.
That's That
Tweet.
Bing!
If any of my followers have a cuter pig than my Godzilla, I would like to see your photo, too.
This falls into the category of person who has to show you pictures of their kid slash animal.
Right.
I had a particularly
cute photo
of Godzilla
that day. And Bean is the most obnoxious person when it comes to photos of his animal.
If any of your pigs like Bing Crosby, let me know.
That's That Tweet. Bean!
There are people who enjoy seeing photos like that. And some of those people, that's why they follow me, is because they want to see the pet photos.
I'm serious. Does anyone know if one can have a sloth as a pet?
Oh, my God.
That's That Tweet. Bean!
Twitter needs to be taken away from you. That's what I'm saying.
But where else should I go for information?
Does anyone still remember the TV show Gunsmoke from caveman days? James Arness? He was Marshall Matt Dillon. He's still alive. Who knew?
Oh, my goodness.
You can't. Even you can't think anyone cares about that.
The show went off. He was an old man when the show went off the air in 1975. How is that dude still alive?
Right, but does anyone else care about that?
I don't know.
I do. The answer is no.
Thanks for that tweet. Bean!
In the first verse of Steve Miller's hit, Take the Money and Run, he rhymes do, tube, and loose.
Okay.
Okay. That's terrible songwriting. Come on.
But was that in a Steve Miller chat room? Or did that just come out of left field?
I heard it on the radio.
Let's discuss Take the Money and Run, fans.
No. Right.
In the second verse of Take the Money and Run, he rhymes El Paso and Hassle. In the third, he rhymes Texas, Faxes, and Justice.
That's crappy songwriting. You guys are with me, right?
It is, and it's crappy tweeting as well.
Thanks for That Tweet.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, the series finale of 24. That is a show that people have loved every minute that it's been on the air for the last 7 years. And it's going away tonight. And we have Chloe from the show. Marilyn Reiskub is going to be joining us coming up later on today. And we'll talk about Lost also in about a half an hour. Nicolas Cage, I think we've talked about this before, is one of those actors who can be incredibly good. You put him in the right role, like when he won the Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas, or even in like the National Treasure movies. He's really good in movies like that.
Yeah. Yes.
You put him in the wrong role, and you can't stop but laughing at him when you see him on the screen.
Yeah,
he's so terrible.
And,
right?
And off screen, you can't figure out if he's really just crazy,
yeah,
or if he's just acting crazy to be, you know, some actors.
To be eccentric.
Some singers, they don't feel like they're interesting enough, so they have to be eccentric. I don't think that's true with him. I think he might be actually crazy.
I think he might be right.
I think he is officially crazy. I think you're right about that.
He actually purchased himself a fancy new pyramid. He bought himself a pyramid.
Who needs a pyramid?
He does. It's a 9-foot-tall pyramid in a New Orleans cemetery.
Oh, this is where he's going to...
planning ahead. Okay. Okay.
Yes. And it's got the symbol on it from National Treasure. There's that, which is odd when you start to think about your own death. But the story that Ralph brought up last week... How high did my voice just go?
Just really high.
Honestly.
The story that Ralph brought up last week is how he picks food to eat, especially meat.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we needed a little bit of further clarification. So we got Nicolas Cage on the phone. Hey, Nicolas.
Good morning, Kevin Levine. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
What's this all about? You only will eat animals who mate in what you call a dignified fashion? Please explain.
Yes, I prefer to eat the meat of animals with dignified sexuality or interesting sexuality. Mm-hmm. I believe it makes for tastier meat and also influences my own sexuality.
How did you come to this theory? I mean, this is an odd thing. I've never heard anyone say this before.
Well, everyone has a different reason why they eat anything, really.
Right.
When you think about it.
But I've not heard anyone...
taste.
Sure,
taste
that's
it.
One way to go.
but study their mating habits?
Yeah, exactly. And the more fascinating and creative they are with their sexuality, the more I want to ingest them and take in their essence.
Okay, like an aphrodisiac, so, kind of?
No, just as a way to generate my life force, my chi.
Huh.
What about like a cow that does it in a pretty basic
boring.
Way?
Boring.
Oh, okay.
So no cow.
So you wouldn't eat a cow because you don't think they make love in a creative enough way?
Exactly. I'd much rather have some hyena meat.
Hyena?
What is a hyena? How does he make love?
Female hyenas have an enormous clitoris.
They're super ugly, though, hyenas.
Well,
super ugly.
Well, I'm not going to kiss them. I'm just going to eat them.
All right.
For example, the bonobo monkey.
I don't know that monkey.
Bonobo monkey is one of the few other animals that has sex for pleasure, like humans.
Okay.
So I love to make ice cream out of them.
Okay, that's weird, but how
you call
does...
a chunky monkey.
how does the hyena or the bonobo monkey taste, though? I think that's Lisa's question, is maybe that should be higher up on the list of reasons
really
why you choose...
It's really not an issue for me.
Mm.
You don't care whether it's good
it's
or
more
bad.
It's more about the essence of the animal that I'm ingesting.
What about...
You know, many other cultures believe that you become the thing that you digest.
Right.
Some tribes would eat their enemies to try to absorb the power of their enemies.
Right.
Okay. And I believe that by ingesting these interesting sex animals, I become more interesting sexually.
All right. What about a pig, for instance? A lot of people enjoy sausage, bacon, ham.
Boring.
What about that?
Boring.
Pigs?
Boring.
You wouldn't eat a pig either.
Much rather have porcupine.
Porcupine?
The female porcupine stimulates herself by rubbing her genitals against objects. That's freaking hot.
Can you taste that heat, though, when you eat it?
No, I usually throw in some fruit.
Okay.
Make a porcupine apple salad.
I see. Okay.
Okay. And then what do you get out of it? How does it change your life and your lovemaking if you've eaten a porcupine?
Not so much yet, but I'm hoping for some changes in the future.
Okay.
Honeybees, they eat a lot of honey.
Honeybees?
When honeybees have sex, the male of the honeybee, his penis tears off.
Yeah.
Inside the female and explodes.
Right, but doesn't he die?
That happens to me all the time.
That's unfortunate. You know what,
that doesn't sound good.
And clownfish.
Clownfish?
Clownfish are amazing.
Okay.
There is only two in a school of clownfish that actually breed, a male and female.
Right.
And if the female dies, the male will spontaneously change into a female in order to be able to
creepy.
Keep the species going.
What?
They're
weird.
They're like trannies.
That is bizarre.
It's amazing. So clownfish is a big part of my... Well, not clownfish per se, but I do kill and eat clowns.
Well, that's not the same...
I know, but clownfish is so hard to find.
Is it okay?
Lost is over. We're going to talk about it, play some highlights of last night's series finale, Not Awesome, in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So again, I give you the warning. An event like that, a major television event, it's like coming in the day after the Super Bowl and asking people not to talk about it. It's on you if you haven't watched it yet. There are going to be spoilers, not just on this show, but if you're online or on TV, you know, watching TV, you're going to hear about Lost today.
Spoiler
I'm sorry.
Alert,
nothing you can do about
spoiler
it.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
There was only 5.5 hours yesterday, including Jimmy Kimmel.
You know what? I watched every freaking
Did you really?
Minute. I just rolled around and lost.
I should have.
Even the recap? Even the two-hour recap?
Yeah. Because you know why? They had a lot of interviews with the actors and creators. It wasn't just footage from the show. They were talking to them about particular scenes they had shot and how they felt about certain moments. So it was really interesting for Lost fans.
I was watching the Laker game and thinking that I was recording it. And then I went over there and I realized I missed the first half hour. So
was that important? No, because Lost is the kind of show where you can just fill in the blanks on your own pretty much.
Not the recap, but the actual series finale.
That's
I missed
what
the first
I'm
half.
Okay. You could just, no, it was fine. I'm
no
sure
problem. Okay.
Draw your own.
Anyway, we got some highlights and we'll be taking your phone calls on what you thought it's all about at 1-800-520-1067. Coming up after the top of the hour. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Hey, I want to give you the heads up. If you're here in Southern California, a very special event happening tonight. It is a one-night-only concert of Infant Sorrow. Now, if you're not familiar with Infant Sorrow, that is the band that Aldous Snow is the lead singer of. If you're not familiar with Aldous Snow, that was the character that Russell Brand, of course, played in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And now he reprises his role as Aldous Snow in Get Him to the Greek with Jonah Hill.
So it's a fake band that they do real songs?
Yes.
Okay.
Once again, you've crystallized my thoughts perfectly, Kevin. Russell Brand will also be there, besides Aldous Snow.
Okay.
So they're both going to show up.
Okay.
Jonah Hill will be there. Carl Barat from the Libertines is going to be there. A lot of special guests. So if you'd like to go, it is tonight only, 8 p.m. at the Roxy, a great little rock and roll club up there on Sunset Boulevard. If you'd like to attend, you can buy tickets at livenation.com. That's where you get your tickets for tonight. It's happening tonight, one night only, tonight.
What do you
when
say?
Is that?
This tonight.
Okay. And while we're talking about Get Him to the Greek, of course, is a theater here in Los Angeles.
A venue, right?
A venue, yes. A lot of people think it means something else.
Yeah, well.
In the prostitution world, it does. You know, to Get Him to the Greek, it's like another $500 or something.
Somebody's going to have to give us some booty.
If you'd like to go, I've got 5 pairs of passes to our very special advanced screening of Get Him to the Greek. It happens on Thursday, June the 3rd. The movie's in theaters Friday, June the 4th, so you get to see it a whole day before anybody else does. If you'd like to attend, please call now. Callers 1 through 5. First callers to get through, 1-800-520-1067. If you get through, you get a pair of tickets. It's just that simple. Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. It's Monday morning, so we always do that. Shrek Forever After was number one by far this weekend. Made a little over $71 million in its debut.
Wow.
Which sounds great, but yet still was below expectations.
What'd they expect?
100.
71 is crazy high.
Shrek has been a monster money-making franchise for many, many, many years.
I guess.
Robin Hood 2. Excuse me. That's already out? No.
Wow.
Iron Man 2. $26.6 million was number two. Robin Hood was third. Letters to Juliet and Just Right rounding out the top five. Then MacGruber, in its debut, was sixth at the box office, making a little over $4 million. Date Night was seventh. A Nightmare on Elm Street, How to Train Your Dragon, and then Kites rounding out your top ten at the box office. We were wondering last hour what Kites was.
Yeah, what is that?
It is a Bollywood film. It's an Indian film they released on a grip load of screens. And apparently is getting great reviews and people are going in droves. It's the first time a Bollywood film has ever appeared in the American Top 10 box office chart. So
odd.
There you go. There's your background on Kites. Weird. Simon Monjak, the husband of Brittany Murphy, is now also dead. TMZ.com says Simon was found unconscious in his master bedroom around 9:30 p.m. last night by Brittany's mother, Sharon, who called 911. L.A. Times says the police don't know the cause of death as of yet. He was just 40 years old, however. Now, of course, this seems so strange because his death comes just 5 months after his wife, Brittany Murphy, very talented actress, died at the age of 32. So what's going on there? We don't know yet.
It's odd.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was suicide because he was shattered and really dismayed over losing his wife. So, I mean, that is based on nothing, but I'm just throwing it out there that it's possible. So, sad stuff.
Yeah.
We are talking about Lost in just a couple minutes. If you'd like a little piece of Lost, this is kind of cool. Profiles in History
is in an auction house. For those of you who don't know what an auction house is, that's how they used to sell stuff before eBay.
Yeah.
You put stuff up there and you get to bid on it, and if you're the highest bidder, you win. They do a lot of showbiz-related auctions. I got some cool Batman stuff from them over the years. They are doing a big, big auction this summer of all Lost props. If you'd like to own a little piece of Lost.
I'd like the smoke monster. Can I have that?
You cannot have that, sir. No. You can have a Hurley's winning lotto ticket, though. That'd be kind of cool to own, putting a frame up on your wall.
Does it come with the money?
No, Kevin, you're missing the point.
It's a prop from a TV show.
These are people who love Lost who get to have a little piece of it forever.
I see.
You can get food from the Dharma Initiative, like all the food that's got the Dharma logo
big old
all
jar
over
of mayonnaise.
The canned foods and that kind of stuff.
Can I get Kate?
No. God damn you.
I'm saying, wouldn't that be?
I'd like to have the computer from the Swan Station, though, that you're punching the numbers on.
Oh, that'd be
that
cool.
Oh, that would be cool.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You can get the you can get a crate of Virgin Mary statues.
Oh, do they have the heroin
from the plane?
They, yeah. The
they are indeed filled with fake heroin.
Oh.
Not real heroin.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Not worth
Locke's wheelchair, Jin's wedding ring, Faraday's journal. A lot of cool stuff.
Those are good items. Yeah. Is there one item that you think would be the most representative of that show, Ralph? Does any one thing come to mind?
I would have to guess the computer from the Swan Station, right? That's got to be the most iconic
kind of
piece.
A big plot point, yeah.
I think Echo's staff is also going
that's
up.
That's what I was also
Mr.
thinking
Echo's
that, yeah.
Echo's stick with all the,
it's been so long, though.
With all the Bible verses and stuff written on it.
I love
very cool auction.
Lisa wants Echo's staff.
Yeah. You know that's a good staff.
I would dig having... Easy there. I would dig having a Dharma Initiative jumpsuit from the 70s. I thought those were pretty cool.
Oh, that would be cool, too.
What else? What else kind of really jumps out at me?
Locke's wheelchair.
No, but he said that.
I mentioned that.
As mentioned, yes.
Yeah, as mentioned moments ago.
What about Locke's wheelchair?
No, that's not up for auction, sadly. Okay. Limp Bizkit has canceled its entire U.S. tour.
Shut up!
Yeah!
So couldn't call that, could we?
Now, listen, I've heard that the kids love Limp Bizkit.
Well, I understand.
Down in the Orange County clubs, that's all they play is Limp Bizkit.
We had a big argument with Lightning, who runs the video part of the website, and he was telling us we were all wrong about how Limp Bizkit is on their way back and everyone cares.
Now, some people are speculating poor ticket sales caused the cancellation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Fred Durst, however, posted on the band's official website that he's decided he doesn't want to play in any amphitheaters because fans are not supposed to sit down at his concerts.
Okay.
So now they're going to revamp the plan and try to sell tickets for arenas. He wants to fill arenas.
So he's going to go bigger?
That's what he says.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's bold.
And in more music news, this is effed up. You know Ronnie James Dio, we talked about him last week, the passing of one of the great heavy metal voices of all time.
Yep.
He is, they're going to be a public memorial and funeral for Ronnie here in Los Angeles next Sunday. Well, are you familiar with the Westboro Baptist Church? These are the scumbags who go outside the funerals of AIDS patients and scream God hates the F words and this kind of stuff.
They are the most hateful people
and
on the planet.
Soldiers' funerals.
Yes, soldiers' funerals. They are planning a protest outside of Ronnie James Dio's funeral. They're claiming that Ronnie taught rebellion against God. That's why he died, because he used the hand gesture on stage that people thought was the devil horns.
Right, right.
Which actually turned out to be an Italian symbol for warding off the evil eye. They said he was a God-hating fool because he changed his name to Dio, which means God in Italian. They are going to be protesting outside of his funeral. Ronnie's wife, Wendy, his widow, has posted on his website, please don't get into it with the protesters, since Ronnie hated prejudice and violence, and it would do a disservice to his memory if you were to engage in these people. But still, what are they doing? Really? Really?
Dude, I don't know.
I cannot wait for this Fred Phelps, the pastor from that church, to die. Oh, we all got to show up outside that funeral and just raise some hell.
Party?
Pop champagne and just do blow and stuff.
Like tons of gay sex.
Exactly.
Yeah, every gay guy would
I'm not even gay, but I would have gay sex that day right outside his funeral. I'd be throwing up the devil horns and I'd be doing everything.
I don't know if the word will get out from his widow, will trickle down to the heavy metal fans that are going to be showing up, but that's not the audience that you want to go out and prick. Let's face it.
No, that's true.
Those heavy metal guys are going to go over and beat the crap out of the church people.
Yes. Do not prick a heavy metal guy. That's what I've always said.
That's good advice.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tommy Chong from the legendary comedy act of Cheech and Chong is 72 years old today. Patti LaBelle is 66 years old. Alfred Molina
Very talented actor. He is soon to be seen in the Prince of Persia film. He is 57. John C. Reilly is 45. Rapper Heavy D celebrates his 43rd birthday.
What's that?
That was a half-assed, yeah.
How excited can you be about Heavy D?
And singer Bob Dylan, big friend of the show. We have him on quite often. He is 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to David Gomez, who just won tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2010. Your ticket's coming up very soon on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Give me that spoiler alert just for folks who just are joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show today.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
All right, so Lost. So that happened, right? That's over.
Oh, so good.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
We really haven't said anything about it yet. We haven't really.
No, but we're going to.
We talked about it when we came on first thing today, but now we want to include your phone calls also at 1-800-520-1067. I may not be smart enough to have figured out what's going on, but my...
See, that's your problem. Your problem is you think you have to. I gave up on that a long time ago. I just said, I'm not smart enough. I'm just going to go along for the ride.
All I know is since episode one, since the phenomenal pilot that aired back in 2004, the producers have been telling us, don't worry, I know it seems obvious that it's purgatory. It's not purgatory. We're not that stupid. It's not going to be purgatory.
Right.
And then 6 seasons later, but over here, the sideways, that's all purgatory. So in reality, it is actually purgatory. Now, does that mean that the stuff that we think happened on the island never happened and everyone died when the plane crashed?
No. Of course
not. Which
it
is
all
what
happened.
A lot of people are asking that as a result of the very, very end of the show, which showed what looked like the beach with the plane crashing and nothing had been touched. Nothing had been moved. It looked like the plane had just crashed and was still there. So people are thinking, well, maybe none of that stuff happened on the island.
No, the last scene was showing the wreckage of the plane as an homage to the show.
Oh.
The cast is gone. All the characters are gone. You just have the moment that show was about. But Jack's dad says everything that happened in your life was real. Everything that happened on the island was real. He says it out loud.
But he's dead. Can you trust him?
I trust dead people, okay. Yes.
But all of the stuff that happened in the flash sideways to Jack, for instance, even though up until the point where he realizes he's dead, to him, that's his real life. That's stuff he's actually seen and done and had. None of that happened for real, right? None of the flash sideways stuff is real.
No, that is all purgatory. That's all those characters working out the stuff from their lives before they move on to whatever that next level is,
and that's
whether
why they
believe in heaven or whatever.
That's why they kept like recognizing each other, but
that's
they didn't
why
know
they start,
from where.
They start to piece it together, and then they realize they need to find each other. They need to reconnect in order to go on together with those relationships into the next level. Which is why Sun and Jin were so happy when they realized, yes, they died, and we did have a child together, but here we are. We've been reunited in the afterlife, and we get to spend eternity together.
Jimmy Kimmel last night said, what about the kid? Why didn't one of you stay for the kid?
It's pretty funny.
Good question. All right, the last 5 minutes of the show, which is the big reveal, and certainly not the reveal most people were expecting, is
Jack. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Is Jack, who has been in the flash sideways, has been driven by Kate to the church where he thought his father's funeral was going to be. Yep. And he walks in, he sees the casket. He goes up to the casket, turns out he opens it, it's empty. Of course, Jack starts to get his flashbacks as he puts his fingers on the top of the casket. And now he starts to realize, hey, wait a minute, this something very familiar about this, but what is it? Well, he turns around and there's dear old dad. And here's the realization he hits with.
Hey, kiddo.
Dad?
Hello, Jack.
I don't understand. You died.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Then how are you here right now?
How are you here?
Whoa! Turns it around.
I died too.
So he realizes he's dead. Now, how is it possible that everyone's dead again, Ralph, including people who haven't died, all in the same place at the same time?
Because they have died. They have died. Everybody dies at some point, Jack's dad says.
But they're all dead when Jack's there.
Yes, but there's no timeline in the afterlife, you know? Everything is relative. So that moment where they all come together is a point in their lives where people have died in the past and people have died in the future. Beyond in the afterlife, there's no sense of time going by. So you're just there. You're in that moment. And it's important for all those people to reunite, to reestablish the most significant relationships in their lives in order to reconnect and then pass over to the next stage, whatever the afterlife is. It was very spiritual and I thought very touching last night.
It was certainly way more character-driven than I think a lot of people were expecting. Those who had been watching it for the island and for the mysteries of the island to be revealed. The people who were kind of invested in that plot line, I think there was – they got a little bit of the short shrift in the finale last night. It really focused more on the relationships between the people.
Just don't uncork it. That's just the message.
But all season long, they've been kind of explaining the island. They've been giving you the explanation for the island for the better half of the, at least the second half of this season. You've got that. They've given you that.
And show you Jacob and his brother.
Right. You know the history behind those guys now and what the island represents. And then you get to focus on the characters, which I thought was great. And you realize, in essence, the show really is about Jack Shepard's journey. From being a man of science, a man who doesn't have any faith, no real spiritual center. Disbelieves. Locke was the faith guy. He was always the science guy.
Right.
Then he goes through this arc, this progression, and at the end, he is the one that is touched by faith, by sacrifice, and by belief in a higher power, in something bigger than himself. Great stuff.
Explain to me, if you can, and maybe it doesn't matter, but why did Desmond need to pull the bathtub plug in order to shake the island up, and then why did Jack have to put the bathtub plug back in?
Is it a bathtub plug? Do we know that?
Because that's what it looks like.
Because Desmond, for whatever reason, is the only person who can withstand the amount of electromagnetic energy that is put off by that center, by the heart of the island.
But what?
That's why Widmore brought him there, because he knew that was one person who could go into that, down that waterfall, and do what needed to be done.
And by doing that, the smoke monster became human and could be killed again.
That's right. Once the heart of the island had been stopped, the lock slash Smokey became human again and was able to be killed. And that's what Widmore knew that Desmond could accomplish. That's why he was the weapon.
He was the failsafe.
Oh, if everything else went to the wayside, if they couldn't stop the smoke monster in any other way, Widmore knew that would be the last-ditch effort that would work.
Now, let's take a couple of calls.
Let me ask one more question to follow up on that, and then we'll go right to your calls. Did Jack know that Smokey would become human and would be able to get beaten up?
Nope. Nope.
He was just winging it, right?
He was winging it. He was thinking Desmond going down there was going to have some kind of effect, and he was hoping for the best. And it's not until he loses himself in anger and strikes Smokey in the face and draws blood. You can see it on his face. It dawns on him, the realization that...
I heard him.
I heard him, and now can finish the job. Although Kate was the one, of course, who finished
the job. And wasn't that a scene right out of It's a Wonderful Life when Jimmy Stewart gets hit in the face and I'm bleeding, burned? I mean, it's exactly what it is you realize, hey, I'm human again. I'm back. I'm not dead. I'm not gone.
Okay.
All right.
Which I thought was interesting.
You can make that
illusion.
Sure.
520-1067. Where do you want to go here, Kevin?
Let's start with Freddie. Hi, Freddie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You like the ending, but what?
I like the ending. It was, you know, I cried a little. It was really emotional.
Yeah, it was great
for the characters. But there's a lot of seasons, a lot of plot points that they just ignored.
But weren't most of them relatively unimportant?
Why can't they get pregnant? Why do they die? They never explained that. That was a big deal. They made a big deal out of it, but they just ignored it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff is kind of like the mystery of faith argument you get with some people about religion. It's all sort of related to what's going on in that island and the detail stuff. I think by the end, the producers and writers are saying, look, it's not about that. It's really not about those little moments. It's about the bigger picture here.
But they've got to admit they wrote themselves into a corner and they didn't have enough episodes then.
They had plenty of episodes. They had 120 episodes. They had enough. Thank you very much for the call, Freddie. Hey, speaking of questions, did we learn last night that Richard Alpert, the guy who never ages, he started to age after the plug was pulled too? He got his first gray hair, and that meant he was now human too, Ralph?
I think he started to age once Jacob was killed. Once Jacob was dead.
Because
Jacob was the entity that was keeping him immortal. It was keeping him alive. That was the deal that they made. Jacob said, I will keep you. I will keep you from getting any older. And I think with Jacob gone, now Richard was starting to age like everyone else.
Let's go to Matt real quick. He's got a question on line 5 that I was also wondering. Matt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the series finale of Lost last night. What do you have?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
For Ralph, if this whole thing was involved with the afterlife, can you explain why there was such a need for transforming the island to different time zones?
Yeah, I think that meant to represent that the island was eternal. It existed before man. It'll exist after, now that Jack put the plug back in. That is the center of humanity, the center of life and death and evil and good, all the things that make us who we are. That island is eternal. That will always exist. Throughout all time, past, present, and future.
It was weird. Thank you very much for the call. It was weird that they spent all that time with the flash forwards. Flashbacks, I understood, to give us, the audience, an insight into the characters and what their journey had been to get to the island. But then all that time in the flash forwards, none of that really mattered.
Well, it did matter. It did matter because... All that happened and showed how empty and shallow and unsatisfying their lives were. Even after they got off the island, that their destiny was meant for something else, and that's what the motivation was for them to return to the island and do what they needed to do there.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll come back. The Lost series finale was on last night. What did you think about it? Do you agree with what everyone seems to be saying it's about? Or do you have any other thoughts? 1-800-520-106.
It's the day after the Lost series finale. If you haven't seen it yet, here's a spoiler alert for you.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
We're going to get right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jack Shepard realizes he's dead. He's in a face-to-face conversation with the man he showed up at the church to bury, his father, Christian. Here's what Christian tells him about where they are now.
Where are we, Dad? Well, this is the place that you all made together so that you could find one another. The most important part of your life was the time that you spent with these people. That's why all of you are here. Nobody does it alone, Jack. You needed all of them, and they needed you. For what? To remember, and to let go.
I was bawling like
guys,
a baby.
We don't have a place like that. We've not decided where we're going to meet in the future when we die.
Where should we meet? Guys, afterwards, I am just not going.
Where should we meet? Like a park or something? Where should we go?
Yeah, you go to the park. I'll meet you there.
Yeah, right. Ralph, since you're the guy who seems to have gotten more out of this than the rest of us, not through lack of trying, you're just smarter, I guess.
No, I'm not smarter. It's just, I felt it. I just felt it.
What about the people who weren't in the room at the end? For instance, Benjamin Linus sits outside, decides not to go in. Does that mean he obviously dies too at some point. Yes. Why isn't he part of the group?
Because he's got more stuff to work through. He's done a lot of evil in his life. He may not be ready to move on to whatever the final reward is.
Maybe the people in that church weren't the most important part of his life. Like, remember when his dad said, these are all the people that the most important time you spent. Benjamin did a lot of stuff before that.
But I don't think that was it. I think it was that he had done a lot of evil things. And he says to Hurley, he said, aren't you coming in, dude? He's like, no, I got some other stuff to work
out. Yeah, that's true.
I got some other stuff to work out first before I can go in there. Meaning that he has to be able to resolve the evil things that he did versus the good things he did before he gets to move on to the next level. He's got some more work to do in that purgatory.
Back on the island, though, right? Because that's the only home he ever knew, right? He was born on the island, lived on the island his whole life, right?
He was a teacher.
What do you mean back on the island?
That's where Benjamin Linus lived his whole life, right?
Right.
The flash sideways, that didn't really happen, right?
No, but that was the purgatory he created for himself so he could try to work through all the things he did. If you think that back to the flash sides, all of the characters were addressing some of their major issues that they had in real life. So Benjamin Linus had to deal with his relationship with his daughter, Alex, to do the right thing by her, to sacrifice for her, help her, versus being selfish and allowing her to be killed in front of him. He had to go back and correct those things in his purgatory, work through them, understand them before he could get to the next level. All the characters did that in purgatory. They all had addressed their issues. Jack had daddy issues. Kate had to recognize that raising Aaron and helping Claire give birth to Aaron was the most important thing she had ever done.
And they were lesbians, right? They turned into lovers?
Kevin, I can't help you.
It looked like it. It sure looked like they were headed in that direction. I'll tell you that.
They were looking in each other's
eyes. You're beyond help. You're never getting out of purgatory.
Let's try. We have a very limited time, but let's try to get a couple calls. Carolyn is on line 5. She's got a great question that I would appreciate Ralph's answer if he hasn't. Hi, Carolyn, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Okay, so I had a question because in a previous episode, they showed Jacob going back to, he touched everybody in their path.
Right.
Kate was a little girl.
Sets up all the candidates to get them towards the island, right?
Exactly. How do you do that if he can't get off the island?
Oh, he can get off the island anytime he wants. The energy of the island allows you to transport, if you know what you're doing, to anywhere. Remember how Ben, when he turned the donkey wheel, he got transported to the middle of the desert suddenly when he moved the island?
Okay.
Locke also was transported off the island in the same way. When he set the wheel straight and kept them from jumping through time, he got transported as well.
How did Jacob keep his brother there? The bad guy. How did he keep him from leaving?
Because he had turned him into this column of smoke. He wasn't a human. He was no longer. He had lost all of his humanity. That's what the light had taken away from him.
I got you. All right. I want to get Mike's question on because this is of critical importance, I think. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah. My question was, when did all die? I mean, did they die, like, once the plane actually crashed? Or did it take them a while that they were actually on the island and died?
No, they all died at different times.
They did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then it wasn't like, you know, because how they go through the flashbacks, you know, they made it kind of seem like that they had actually got off the island. I mean, so they actually did get off the island and lived part of their life off of the island, and they had to go back?
Yeah, that happened up until last night's episode. And then there also is, the story goes on for some people. Jack's story ended last night, but for instance, Hurley and Linus go on to protect the island for many years to come. Because Hurley says to him, you were a great number two, man. Well, you were a great number one. They obviously had a history that went on beyond Jack's passing. So they died later in the future.
They had a gay relationship.
They didn't have a gay relationship.
No, they didn't have a gay relationship. Oh. But and also, the people, thank you very much for the call, Mike. The people in the plane who got off the island, they went back to civilization, we presume, lived a regular life.
Exactly.
And died,
right.
40 years later. Or
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Why
did they? And those guys.
And Kate
Miles.
And Jim and Alpert and Miles.
Miles, right.
One other
question. We're running out of time, unfortunately. But one other question that Victor has is, why did they never answer what the numbers were about? Or did they?
And they did.
Yeah,
they did. That was answered in that big roundhouse where all the candidates were assigned an order. They were on a list, and that was what the number was associated with. Is that right?
The six numbers were related to the list of candidates. They were the candidates. And also, it was a way to get Hurley to the island with the lottery tickets and then have him recognize the same numbers on the hatch.
I see.
Most important question that hasn't been covered. And by the way, for those of you who hate Lost and hate hearing us talk about Lost, we're done.
This is it.
The show's gone, right?
We say this is it. We mean this is it.
Yeah, that's true.
Vincent, dead or alive?
Who's Vincent?
The dog.
The dog.
Oh.
He lays down. He seems like he's alive. He lays down next to Jack. I don't see him in the church. What happens to Vincent? Where's he?
Well, Rose and Bernard were taking care of him, and they're dead. They were in the church. So
right.
I'm assuming Vincent is also gone. And then Son and Jen ate him.
Series finale of 24 is tonight. We've got the very fine actress who plays Chloe on the program, Mary Lynn Ryskamp, joining us in about a half an hour. Talk about, of course, you know she's going to come in and she's going to say, glad you guys enjoyed the show. Can't tell you anything about tonight. You know that's what's going to happen, right?
But I've seen it. So but, I can tell you all of it.
You are bad at secrets.
By the way, I forgot to tell you that we put up a Jimmy Kimmel special on Lost. If you want to go to the website, kevinandmedia.com, it's In Your Eyes, I think is the name of it, where they show some of the touching moments, some of the beautiful, beautiful love stories that happen on that program.
That involves Benjamin Linus getting his face beat off.
Yes, that too.
All right, let's talk about our friend Gene Simmons, of course, from the legendary rock and roll band Kiss.
Kiss? Are you kidding?
No.
God. I love Kiss.
No one loves Kiss. Paul Stanley is sick of Kiss.
Whoa! Don't diss the star child.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night. Part of every day.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night and party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll from like 1 to 3.
Well, Gene Simmons is in the news and maybe he wished he weren't. Here's what happened. He, of course, is the bass player and sometimes lead singer of the band Kiss. He's on SportsCenter as a guest in November of 2009 and he meets a young lady there named Victoria Jackson. Now, Lisa, you know that Gene is a big fan of the young ladies.
Yes. And I know how he behaves when he comes to interviews.
Gene does consider, and by the way, it's kind of hard to argue with the dude's track record. He does believe that every woman he runs into wants to have sex with him.
Yes. I mean,
that's just his mindset is, I'm Gene Simmons, therefore she wants to have me. Well, this woman is threatening to sue Gene Simmons, claiming that he roughed her up in the hallway by rubbing up against her. His defense is that I couldn't get anywhere near her because I was wearing my Kiss costume at the time. I got a giant cod piece that covers my junk. There's
and
no
Robert
way I can
go beyond.
Huh?
What?
I'm sorry, go ahead, B.
What the hell is going on down there today?
I'm trying to get the right phone line because we have Gene Simmons, but...
We got Gene Simmons on the phone?
I went to the wrong one.
Oh, fantastic. Mr. Simmons, can you hear us okay?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there we go. I'm sorry.
Hi, Gene. We're just talking about your story about this Victoria Jackson who says that you sexually assaulted her at ESPN.
First things first.
Yes?
I'm close personal friends with Poison lead singer Bret Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been going through a lot of health trouble.
Okay.
And he was recently voted the Celebrity Apprentice.
Right.
He won a lot of money for charity, mm-hmm. and I'd like to congratulate him on that, especially considering him having to go through that brain hemorrhage.
Okay.
Right? So I'd just like to get that out first.
how that's relevant at all.
Well, it's a very, very dangerous thing, a brain hemorrhage. You're getting, sure. you know, leakage in your brain.
Right.
Speaking of liquid leaking in your head.
All right, let's not turn this into
Come
that.
On
okay,
that one.
Gene?
Come on with that one. Liquid in your head, I went with.
That was a long slide for now, I'd say.
All right, so she claims that you hugged and grinded her in a hallway at ESPN. You're saying you're wearing a codpiece. It actually would be impossible for you to have rubbed up against her because of the costume. Is that right?
It's true. It's true. There's a huge, huge codpiece, a big piece of material, probably 3 to 4 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
And it protrudes from my body far, far away from my genitals.
Right.
And there's just no possibility that I could have rubbed any inappropriate body parts up against that young lady. And Lisa May alluded to that earlier.
What?
That I like to push the envelope sexually.
Sure.
I certainly am someone who would be considered flirtatious. I understand that. But it's important that you toe that line and act professional. Speaking of toes, Lisa May, how's the camel toe?
Okay.
Wow.
First of all, you've been in our studio numerous times, Gene. You don't understand where that line is. You
I
can't.
Do. I
oh,
do. That's ridiculous.
You don't at all. Every One. Woman around you feels like they're creeped out because
no.
of the things that you say and do in
no,
their presence.
No, no, no. Listen to me. The character of Gene Simmons is a carefully crafted one, and although I'm not a professional actor, I don't make my living in drama.
Right.
I am a character actor in a sense that once I put on that mask, I become someone else. Lisa May, speaking of putting on a mask.
All right, I'm not sure
I've
you're
got
helping.
A mask for you.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But this is
that.
When you were here as Gene Simmons, and I know like our promotions director was horrified. She loved you and was horrified at how much you were. Didn't he pull her into his lap?
Well,
yeah. And you pulled Alex by the hair? I mean, it was bad.
It was a little uncomfortable.
And you women deserve to be treated in a certain way.
Aww.
I'm coming there to do business with Kevin and Bean.
Right.
And you need to understand that it's your obligation to deal with Gene Simmons in a proper way.
It's not really at all.
It truly is.
Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
And also, my strict adherence to the Jewish faith uh-huh. does not allow me to truly disrespect anyone.
Oh.
You need to understand that.
And
I take that very seriously.
You're a strict?
Adherence to the Jewish faith.
Really?
Okay.
And speaking of the Jewish faith, Lisa, I have some soggy matzo right here.
Okay.
Ew.
You know what?
No, you know
We're
what?
So
that's
ew.
Enough.
Right here.
That's just
right.
I will keep myself. I would find a way.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 7:54.
So Johnny Cash isn't really dead? He's just living in a flash sideways?
He is destined to roam the island as one of the whispering voices for all the evil he did by recording that song.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to switch gears to 24 coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What the hell are you talking about?
Not quite done with the Lost talk yet. Because an interesting story has come up. This comes from my buddy Kristen Dos Santos over there at E! Entertainment.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen her. She's over there. She's one of the reporters. Does great work. She got to the bottom of why we didn't see Mr. Echo in last night's finale or any time this season. As you know, the cast members who have gone away have been appearing throughout the last half of the season.
A lot of them haven't. He hasn't.
Anna Lucia showed up as a cop, and Libby showed up, and who else have we lost? Walt.
Yes.
Michael Rounder showed up. But Mr. Echo did not turn up. He was offered by the producers a guest spot, actually, in last night's finale. They wanted him to come back, but he turned them down. Apparently, Mr. Echo, whose name is Adewale Akinnuoyi, turned down the offer because he wanted 5 times the amount that was offered him to appear in the episode. Mm.
Wow.
Well, he's gotten so much work since he left the show. He can afford to be picky like that.
He's a big star now.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
Huh.
Not one thing ever is
That's
what he's doing.
Weird.
Yeah, no word on how he would have made an appearance or what he would have, you know, how he would have shown up in the storyline. But they did try him. They know he was a fan favorite. They did try to get him back, but he said, I'll do it for 5 times what you're offering
That's
me.
That's crazy.
That is
wow.
crazy. He should have done it just to be a part of something cool.
I get a sense a lot of them did.
Yeah.
You know?
You think.
I think the actress who played Juliet, who's now on V, a very popular show, I'm sure she carved out time in her schedule to come back. I think they just all wanted to be there as sort of a nod to their experience with that show, but he apparently had no such
Adewale Akinnuoyi Agbaje.
Yeah.
There you go. That's his name. That's who we're talking about.
He was only in the first season, though, right?
I think he was in the second season.
Second as well?
And he was supposed to be on for 4 seasons.
Oh.
But he said, I hate it here.
I don't want to do this show anymore. I don't want to live on this island. And he broke his contract, and they had to write him off. That's why the smoke monster killed him.
Hawaii can be brutal.
Can you imagine having to live there?
My God.
What that poor bastard.
How many of those actors on Lost, and all those people you talked about earlier, by the way, Ralph, who, you know, basically make a living because the TV show is filmed there, are begging to get on Hawaii Five-0? They're like, oh, please, just let me switch over to this other show and stay on the island.
Daniel Day Kim has.
Is that right?
Who played Sun. Uh-huh. Of course, on Lost, he now plays Chin Ho Kelly.
No
kidding. Detective Kelly over there on Hawaii Five-0. So he gets to stay in town.
Very
which
cool.
Which is nice. Simon Cowell's leaving American Idol. Oprah on Friday asked him why. At least he was honest. He said he was bored. And he thought the show had started to go on autopilot. He's right.
He's right.
Right, but isn't he replacing it with another version kind of the same show that's his?
But it's his. He's producing it, and he thinks it's more exciting because there's no age limit to who can come on. And there's no limit to the kind of music that you can do.
Right.
You can be a group, you can be a solo act, you can play an instrument or not play an instrument. He thinks the variety tends to bring a little bit more energy to the format than just to have, you know, 21-year-olds singing show tunes.
Is he going
to
destroy the American Idol, do you think?
I don't
that move?
Think so, because it's going to be on Fox. Him leaving American Idol, will that destroy it? I think it'll certainly speed its demise. Yeah, if it's going to go away at all.
Especially if his new one is good.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
He also said he misses Paula Abdul.
Really? Me too. They were actual friends, I think.
Yeah.
I miss her, too.
She was entertaining on the show, that's for sure.
What is she going to say and how?
Regarding who's going to replace him, he said everyone's talking about casting a nasty person or getting another Brit. And he said, but that's not the point. He said, you have to have someone who knows the difference between good and bad. If this was an ice skating show, we wouldn't be talking about getting someone who's obnoxious or British. You have to know somebody who can speak the truth and knows music.
That would make ice skating more interesting.
It sure would.
You know, I don't watch the show. I got off American Idol very early in this season. But Ellen, I don't think, was the answer.
No.
I don't think she lived up to what a lot of people thought she would bring to the party.
No, boy,
which was a certain level of energy and excitement.
No.
Lindsay Lohan!
Back in the news, not only does she have to appear in court today to see whether a judge has decided she violated her terms of probation or not. If she did, she could get up to 180 days in jail, by the way. But she's got another scandal on her hands. Photos have reached the internet via TMZ.com about her at a party with some friends. And they're partying, and on the coffee table in front of them, there are some definitively drawn lines of a suspicious white powder.
What?
Now, there's no definite ID on the powder. We're not sure exactly what it is.
Salt?
Yes.
Perhaps.
Maybe they were doing shots of tequila, and they were just, you know, licking salt off the coffee table instead of their hands. Anyway.
So Lindsay's attorney.
Radar Online. Lindsay's attorney says she had no idea the lines were in front of her.
Oh, my God.
Of course. She would.
I bet she could smell
drugs were being done at a party that Lindsay was at.
I bet you Lindsay could smell out drugs better than a trained German Shepherd at LAX. I think she knows exactly where the drugs are at all times, quite frankly. But Radar Online asked her about it, and here's what Lindsay had to say.
Was that cocaine in those photographs?
I literally was walking back to my room with a few of my friends after doing press for my movie, which I was in Cannes for in the first place, called Inferno. I stopped in someone's room because someone came out of the room and said, could you just take a picture with me really quickly? So I went into the room, took a picture, and then I left the room. I wasn't looking around the room. I just thought I was taking a picture with a fan, and I recently have heard about these photos, and no. So I wouldn't know what was in the room. It's none of my business what was in the room. I was taking a picture with a fan, which I think anyone would have done in that situation.
Lindsay, can I get a photo with you and this Coke?
In my room?
Picture, three of us. You, me, and the Coke in the picture. What do you say? That'd be so awesome.
You lie.
Great stuff.
You have to imagine that she didn't, though, because isn't she smart enough at this point to know, that's the worst thing for her?
Lindsay Lohan.
The start of your question, isn't she smart enough?
Yeah.
No. And Lindsay Lohan, by the way, is famous for ignoring fans, spitting on fans, not dealing, not signing autographs, not stopping for photos. But someone comes out of a hotel room and invites her into a hotel room, says, come on in, I just want to take a picture with you. So she goes into a stranger's hotel room, pauses, takes a photo with a fan, and then leaves again.
Like anyone would do.
Like anyone would do.
Right.
Any smart person would walk into a stranger's hotel room.
Come on. Come on, Kevin. That's what you should not have jury duty, ever.
I do my best to get out of it.
I believe you. That sounds plausible to me.
Hey. All right. Today's top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Shrek was the winner, $71.3 million. Made it number one at the box office. Iron Man 2 came in second. Then Robin Hood, Letters to Juliet, and just right, rounding out the top five, MacGruber! Did not have the opening weekend I'm sure they would have liked for it. Made a little over $4 million. Made it number six this weekend. Date Night, a nightmare on Elm Street, How to Train Your Dragon, and Kites, a film from India, which is the first Bollywood film ever to be in the top 10 of the weekend's hot movies. Round it out. You guys all right over there?
Yes, we're fine.
You okay?
Move on.
You having your own little show?
Move on.
I'm going to separate you two. I will turn this show around. Don't make me pull over.
Just move right on.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Muse on the way. Oh, wait. What's this? Hey.
Oh, you know what this is.
Sweet. 24, series finale. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on Fox, going away after, it's got to be, well, it was on when I was a little kid, so this has to be like season 30 or something like that. But we couldn't be more thrilled to welcome back one of our favorite characters from the show. Marilyn Rice Cub has joined us in the studio. Hey, Marilyn, how are you?
What's going on? The show's been on for 30 years.
30 years.
Since you were about right. In kindergarten.
Now, this is weird. I've been one of those fans who's Kevin has watched every second of every season. It's his favorite show. I've been in and out. I've seen some seasons more than others, but it's weird for me to think there was a time when you weren't on 24. You weren't on the show at the beginning.
That's
right?
Hard to remember that. A lot of people say that. I think that's like a really huge compliment. Yeah. So thank you. I started in season 3.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could ask me that. I watched it all. You could ask me that, I would have failed. I would have said, no, she's been there the whole time.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That is cool. But that was, I mean, the show was, remember how huge it was in season one and even bigger in season two. So when you got that call as an actress, that's like really hitting the jackpot, right?
Well, it was, but strangely enough, I did not want to go in on the audition.
Why?
Just my personality. You know what? No.
It's too good an opportunity. I don't need it. That kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't need that today.
Good writing and good acting, right? Who needs that?
I hadn't watched the show.
You hadn't? You knew it was a hit, but you hadn't?
I knew. I was like, it's this drama that's on. I don't know what I was doing. I mean, I'm an actress in Hollywood. You think I would get a clue, but. And then I had a really bad audition for CSI because I didn't really audition for dramas at that time. I was only doing comedies.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the call and I was like, you know what? I'm still traumatized from trying to be a dramatic character in that audition. That went really badly.
Right.
And I'm not going to go. And then my agent was like, are you crazy? And then my mom said, you have to go, because my mom was somebody who watched it from the very beginning.
Oh, nice.
And so, also, the part wasn't written. So on the page, it was like, yes, Jack, no, Jack. And I was like, I can't do anything with that. But then I crammed and watched a few episodes and I realized that's how they do it. They work you in, you know, the character wasn't there yet. So it was like the best opportunity ever.
So you went and tried out, and that went a little bit better.
That went
than the CIA one.
It went fantastic. The creator, Joel Surnow, he had seen me in the movie Punch Drunk Love. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, where I play an annoying, overbearing sister. And he said, I love that quality that you have.
That's what I want.
And I'm going to write a part for you. And he met me in the hallway. You know, I didn't even, I read it, but he was like, you're great. I think you're great. And I said, you know what? Whether or not this happens, this was an amazing experience, and I'm so grateful.
But he wrote it for you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
See, and he did. I thought, you know, I don't even know if this is going to happen, but I feel so validated right now that that's fantastic, because you never count on anything. And then when I started, it was 4 episodes, and I thought, oh, this isn't going to last very long.
That was it. You were there for 4 episodes, and then you're going to...
Yeah, because I was rude, and you know, people didn't really like me, and they gave me a baby to put under my desk. I was like, this isn't something.
It's not gonna last.
And then it changed, and I was loyal to Jack, and then people were like, oh, maybe we like her now. You know, maybe she's annoying yet loyal, and that's interesting.
So the first 4 episodes went by, and then they said 4 more, or how did that work?
Yeah, it went along like
one
that
at
for
a
about
time?
2 years.
Yeah. You were all right yesterday, but we'll see today.
Yes, exactly.
For 2 years. That's odd.
This is super interesting to me because, especially, and if you're just joining us, Marilyn Rice Cub is in the studio with us talking about 24 series finale tonight. She is the beautiful Chloe on the show. It's interesting to hear that the part was basically written for you, because you're the only character with any kind of lightness on that show, really. I mean, you've if
anyone's brought the comedy, what comedy there's been, the light moments have been via Chloe. And it totally makes sense that that's why they do it, is because they know that you have that deep comedic background. That's awesome.
I think that was very, very organic. And again, it was Joel Chernow. He's one of these people, he kind of worked on his instincts of like, you like equality. You know, I don't think he was thinking, we're going to make this the funny character. I think it just kind of organically became that. And that was really fun, because I think it does. It, in a show like that, if there's a line here or there that kind of releases the tension a little bit.
Just a little.
Right.
Just a little. Not much.
God's sake.
It really turned the screws to you. You go, come on, let me breathe.
All right, let me ask you this then. So now you're on 24 and it's a big hit. Season 3 is big, and then season 4 comes along and people still love it. As the actors on the show, and of course the pressure is not on you as much as it is on the writers to continue to top yourselves every year, but you got to think, how are we going to come back next season? Where is there left to go with this format, right? It's a miracle that it's lasted as long as it has.
Yeah, luckily I didn't have to deal with that at all.
You didn't have to be the writer?
God, I hope they come up with something, you know?
I remember the very first episode of the very first season saying that hour was so good, there's no possible way that they'll be able to keep this up.
And our producers and writers have talked about that a lot. We've done these press panels together about how they didn't even think it would work, you know, and when it got picked up, it was like, oh, I guess we have to recreate this. And then, you know,
again and again.
Fourth year, it's like, oh, wow, this is really working. I think they were surprised. But, you know, again, that's the organic nature of it. I think that's what helps keep it fresh.
It must make you feel good to see how many characters came and went. And you were always there. I mean, you know, CTU changed staffs almost entirely, almost every season.
Yes.
And yet you were there.
Very lucky. Very grateful.
You didn't even have to die and come back like Tony. I mean, you actually never had to die. Although we haven't seen tonight yet. So.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Make
and
his heart beat again.
How great has every choice been for president of the United States in the history of 24, by the
so
way?
They're cool.
They do such a great job of casting all these different kinds of people that have different, you know, different real life plot lines on the show. It's just amazing what they've been able to do.
I think it's because of us that Obama's in office.
Is that right? You take full credit?
Full credit.
You had the first black president,
the
right?
Idea.
Me personally, I'll take credit for that.
And Sherry Jones is the current president, by the way.
That's right. So we're going to have a woman president.
I've seen the finale that airs tonight, and Sherry Jones is amazing. I want her to be president.
Yes.
Can we make that happen?
You do, even though she had to like...
Yes.
I know.
You can't give it away.
Are you guys talking in code now?
Yeah, sorry.
That is really mean.
All right.
No, but I mean, it's already led up to that. If you've watched the show, you've seen her have to...
Make some pretty
some
tough
things that she's done that we won't say.
All right, we will cryptically talk more about the series finale of 24 tonight with our guest Mary Lynn Rice Cub when we return. It airs at 8 o'clock on Fox. More with Mary Lynn right after this on the Kevin. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, very special Monday for 24 fans. As you say goodbye to your show tonight, Mary Lynn Rice Cub is in the studio. She is Chloe on the program. So you will dance against Evan Lysacek tonight? Is that how it
no,
works?
That's not the same show.
I can't keep track of all these finales this week. No, this week is too much. There's too many shows at the same
last
time.
Last night there was 75 hours of Lost.
Right.
Right.
And
The Celebrity Apprentice, right, going on at the same time.
Right. Tonight is the series finale of 24, which I'm very bummed about, but it's a great show. And it's for 2 hours starting
tonight.
Let's forget all other shows
for a moment.
All right, let's talk about where we left off before this particular episode. Jack is killing everyone.
Yes. He finally is unraveling a little bit.
He is literally killing people just for the fun of it on the street.
Don't look at him wrong.
No, he finds out that there's this Russian involvement in assassinating a world leader, and the president is covering it up. So he's like, F it. I'm going to take everyone out myself. And Chloe has to try and stop him. And that's where
good luck stopping Jack.
I think I'm the only one who can talk him down.
That's where this clip comes from as he's getting ready. I can say that, right? He's getting ready to do
I
what?
Think so.
Yeah, he's getting ready to shoot the president of Russia.
Yeah.
And Chloe intervenes.
You're provoking a war with a nuclear armed country.
Shut up, Chloe.
Or what? You're going to kill me too?
Pull the trigger.
Don't ask me to do something I can't do.
Damn you, Chloe. Pull the trigger.
Please don't make me do this.
Chloe, pull the trigger.
No, Jack.
Pull the trigger.
Damn you.
So she talks, she talks him out of shooting the president of Russia, but then he knows the troops are coming in, so she has to shoot Jack.
Oh,
Chloe.
My God, that gave me chills.
That was crazy.
Wow.
Chloe shot Jack. Head right to the head, dead. You won't believe. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I?
I can't believe you did that.
Mm. I think Kevin's teasing there.
I am, yes.
Yeah. So so that's going to happen. Okay.
All right. It does seem like Jack has gone way too far this time, and the writers must have, you know, they saw the end coming, so they know they can push it beyond the limits. You know, normally he kind of goes outside the law, but then everybody kind of goes, he was right, we should have listened.
I think it's pretty
cool. This time is a little further.
Yeah, and I think it's very apropos to end in that way. And it's going to be a very cool ending because of that.
Marilyn, when did you guys find out this would be the final 24 season?
We kind of suspected it all year, and we were just waiting and waiting and waiting to hear. And it was pretty close to the end. We were around, I think, episode 18 or 19.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Really?
So, in other words,
too much time to wrap it up.
No.
Wow.
So, well, I mean, so I think they were... I don't know what they were doing, because I really think it was a right down to the wire, are they or aren't they?
You know, so they really didn't
keep it going. Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
So I was just wondering how different the show we'll see tonight will be based on the fact that it's series finale versus season finale. I just wondered if they changed it because of that.
Well, I think what we were just talking about Jack really crossing that line.
To a point where they wouldn't invite him back next season.
He's been tiptoeing all over that line every season.
Yes.
He'll step on the wrong side, then the right side, wrong side. This time he's jumping over with both feet.
I think everything just got amped up even more.
As an actor, were you relieved, saddened? What were you when you heard the show was going away? I mean, because sometimes people go, hey, I've been doing this for years. I'd love to go out and do something else. Other people go, this is the best job I've ever had. I may never get on a show this good. Please let it last as long as it can. Where'd you come down?
Well, you were very articulate in what you said right there. I think it's a little bit of all those things. I was, you know, this show put me on the map. I love it. I love the character, and it was different for me every year, but it's okay. Creatively, it's okay. The saddest part was leaving all the people in a situation that was so great, and you know you're never going to have that again, and you look at all these people that you've spent 12 hours a day with for 5-6 years and who were all creatively invested, and you know, I became a wife and a mother during the course of the show, and it was sad, but it's okay.
Without giving away too much, the scene between you and Jack at the end is fantastic. I mean, I think that's a great way to end the episode.
I thought so too.
The series.
I'm really excited to see how they reading them on paper, I thought this is good. It's not going to disappoint. It's going to satisfy the fans, and there's still enough hanging to be like, wonder what happens. But it wraps it up in a intense, pretty awesome way, I think.
So that happens, and then you move on to Mary Lynn Spreads Her Legs.
Oh yeah,
which it seems like a natural progression.
Which is straight to porn, or
guys?
Is that what's happening?
You don't
you
have to go there in your mind.
I
like picking this title that's outrageously provocative, and then acting like you know what? It's not.
That's outrageous.
It's natural.
Don't go to the
Why
guy.
Would
you know
say
what?
That?
I'm sorry. It's nature.
This
you
is
spread
the
your
name.
Legs. Babies are made,
right?
And here's what happens. Come see the show.
What is it now? It's a one woman.
It's a one-woman show. I've always done stand-up and kind of never known exactly what I was saying, and this is the first time where I've committed to a narrative. I took notes when my baby was first born because I didn't like it so much.
That wasn't fun?
It wasn't so fun.
Right.
That period where you're adjusting, and you know, I talked to some other people, a friend of mine who was like, oh yeah, I wanted to drop my baby off a ledge. And so things like that, discussions that I was having with people of maybe, you know, a lot of times, especially when you're on TV, you'll read the article and people, it's the most magical thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, wouldn't that be funny to just talk about what you are really going through? And I bet a lot of people can relate. So it's the story of, you know, not planning on having a baby and trying to put a family together.
And is that going to be someplace where, do you know?
It's going to be at the Steve Allen Theater in Hollywood.
Fantastic. Yeah. When does it start?
In a couple weeks. We're in our final rehearsals.
Oh, wow.
Excellent.
Wow, so not a day off for you then, huh?
No, I got to keep it going.
Marilyn Spreads Her Legs. That's the name of it.
It's easy to remember.
It is easy to remember.
I appreciate that about the title.
It makes it
Can't
simple.
Can't wait to Google that.
Hey, did I make a mistake?
I don't know.
That's funny, right?
See what I get.
Yeah, let me ask before you go, and again, 24 series finale tonight at 8 on Fox. A lot of times an actor, when a show ends up, will take a souvenir home. Did you get anything from the CTU floor that you now have in your house as something to remember it by?
Good question, but no.
That's dumb.
She said that's really dumb. She had a look on her face like,
But you know a lot of actors do that. You know, like Seinfeld took the couch from his apartment and stuff like that. I mean, sometimes people want a piece of TV. All right, not good. Not for you, though. I understand.
I'm just kidding. I have, like, boxes of DVDs I can watch anytime.
Of you?
Of me. No, I have
spreading
some,
your legs?
I have some different memorabilia. Do I?
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Because it's dumb. You're not that type of person. Some people aren't.
All right, we have to ask a final question, and I know you've been getting it everywhere you've gone to talk this week, but people are dying to know. You think it's likely that this will turn into a movie deal now that the TV show's gone or not?
I do. And the best thing about everybody asking me that is that I'm so not in that loop. And so if you know or find out anything about that, please let me know.
Let you know. Okay. So you don't have any idea, but you think it might happen.
Well, I've heard what everybody else has heard, that there's a script and that, you know, I think Kiefer's excited about it. Another reporter told me that he said there was going to be three installments of it.
Is that right? Oh. And you still haven't heard word one?
That? No.
Wow.
Nothing.
How about that? That's good. Right. Don't you think that's a little insulting?
So keep me abreast. All right.
We will. Mary Lynn Rice-Cubb, thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank
24
you.
Series finale tonight at 8 on Fox, and then Mary Lynn Spreads Her Legs coming in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So enjoy.
As you know, as long as there are celebrities, TMZ.com has a lot of work to do. They are on the beat 24 hours a day. Dax Holt, one of the editors of TMZ, joins us on the phone right now for our regular Monday recap. Hey, Dax, how are you, man?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
I hear you braved Loveline the other night with Psycho Mike. How'd that go?
It was pretty fun. I had a good time until he started picking his nose halfway through commercial break.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah. He's gross. He's just a bad human.
I had to tell him to put some kind of shoe on today. He's walking around here barefoot. I'm like, I don't want your stink-ass feet around here. What's going on?
I know. It's like working with some sort of hippie. All right, listen. You got a lot of stuff going on. Some of it is fun, like you do. Some of it tragic. I just, I don't know what to think about this new Hollywood death. Simon Monjak, 5 months after his wife, Brittany Murphy, dies. He dies about 10 feet away. What's going on with this?
Yeah, and the thing is, they're just so similar. They found him in the bedroom, the same master bedroom, where she was found. She was in the bathroom of that master bedroom. It looks like some kind of cardiac arrest. The mother, the same one that found Brittany, found Simon.
Wow.
The coroners came, took more. I mean, it was just identical to what happened with Brittany. It's really creepy. And the fact is, now we're going to have to wait for toxicology, see what was in his system. That'll take a couple weeks, as always. But it's just so eerie.
How old was this guy? He's young, right?
Oh, he's not that old. I want to say in his 40s,
40s
30s,
maybe?
I think like
he's that's what I thought.
39,
yeah.
I heard.
39?
Yeah, he's really not old at all.
Ralph was wondering earlier, based on nothing other than the timeline of losing his wife that he was apparently very much in love with 5 months ago, if it maybe there could be a suicide angle, a guy like that who's, you know, feels like he doesn't have much reason to go on.
I mean, it is very, very possible. I know that there's sources, like our people that were there at the house are saying, hey, there could be some kind of drug overdose. They're not obviously sure at this moment, but they're looking into pretty much every angle.
It happens so eerily the same. It's almost like it was planned that way.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel bad for the mother having to find both of them.
Yeah.
She needs to stop going up to the bedroom, clearly. Nothing good ever comes of her visiting the master bedroom in that house. We've learned that. All right. Let's talk about where TMZ is right now, which is live at the courthouse. What is going to happen with Lindsay Lohan when she gets in front of that judge that clearly is tired of her BS?
She's so screwed, you guys. That's what it all comes down to. She showed up late again today. Which,
what?
Yeah, the judge had fully told her lawyer, look, you know, Lindsay's always late to every single court appearance. She needs to be here on time. And Lindsay showed up, I would say, a good, 10 minutes late to court. She just sat down. We're streaming it live. The judge is basically going through everything that Lindsay's going to have to do. It looks like there's going to be a scram bracelet involved because that's always a nice accessory for a celebrity.
That's the bracelet that measures whether you drink alcohol or not, right?
Yeah, and she had one on a little while ago. A couple of years ago, she was wearing that ankle bracelet around, like, on the beach in her bikini.
Right, that's sexy.
I don't think she minds too
much. It's very sexy.
But this judge is really ticked off.
Now, this is the same judge that she's had for a while, and this is the judge that came back from vacation for this?
Yeah, exactly. Came back from her vacation, was sitting on the bench just waiting for her to walk in the door.
That is not what you want.
It's not a good sign. Lindsay's not looking so hot right now.
No.
Let me ask your opinion of this. Dax Holt is on the phone with us from TMZ.com. We're talking about Lindsay Lohan in court right now. You can stream it at TMZ.com. I'm looking at it on my desktop here. People around the country think that celebrities never get in trouble. They never do jail time. They're able to just basically, you know, flaunt the law, and there's no consequences. I mean, if you or I had decided 4 days before a very important court appearance that we were going to go party in Europe and then not come back in time for the date, I feel like we would be in jail. How does Lindsay keep skating? I know she put up some money for bail, but I mean, why don't they come down on somebody who clearly is a habitual offender when it comes to dealing with the court system and put her away?
She's got a very good lawyer, though. I mean, a lot of these celebrities have great lawyers, and I think it comes down to the judge if they're finally just sick of putting up with their BS. Like, look at Paris Hilton. The judge finally said, no, you're going to jail. I don't even care if the judges are, if the jails are full, you're going.
Right.
And I could see something very similar like that happening with Lindsay because she's just tired of it.
So she, today, after this court appearance, she may go to jail?
Yep, we're all just kind of sitting here waiting. I'm, you know, I can't hear what she's saying right now because I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, sorry.
Good commitment to your job right there, Dax. Well, Lindsay doesn't, she doesn't look happy, I'll tell you that.
No, she doesn't. She is.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to your job.
All right.
We don't want to keep you from it. But we did want the update, and we'll check TMZ, of course, because that's where all the information will be on exactly what the sentence is going to be.
Yeah, and go on, and you got to read this Kobe Bryant case. You remember the whole him fighting with the maid?
Yep.
And the maid said that Vanessa made her dig through dog poo to get receipts out of the trash?
Yeah, that was weird.
Right.
We found out the confidential settlement, how much he had to pay, so go read about that on TMZ.
Yeah, and it's a
great
lot.
Great work, as always. Give our best to Harvey. Dax, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on for a Monday?
Guys, I feel bad. I never do this, but a friend of mine dropped by, and she really wanted to come in and see the studio and stuff, so I thought if you wouldn't mind, I'd bring my friend Katie in. Hi,
oh
Katie.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
Oi, this is Russell Brand here.
No, you're not Russell Brand.
It's Katy Perry.
I heard you talk to Russell Brand today.
We were supposed to talk to Russell Brand, but apparently you did something to him. And now
did
his
you
voice,
him?
His voice
He's
doesn't
left
work anymore.
In the bed with bed sores.
Oh.
I mean, not though. It was kind of just like, you know, when you're in a bed too long.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's still bad.
Did you chain him to the bed, or what
chain
happened?
Chain him to the bed. No.
You're so much better than him anyway. I mean, this is better.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, this is Russell, and I'm here to talk about my girlfriend Katy Perry and her record, you know, Teenage Dream. It comes out August 24th. Check out her new single with Snoop Dogg.
I'm surprised you're not talking more about your movie,
California
Russell,
Girls.
Considering that's coming out soon.
Oh, you know, that's just, you know.
Not as important.
Not
important. Record,
not, huh? You know, whatever. I think, like, what is that dog movie, Madagascar?
Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
Or Magda or Magda. I don't know.
Russell, tell us what Katy thought about working with Snoop on the song.
Well, you know, working with Snoop. She was like, I don't think she remembered much because, you know, stuff was going down.
Contact high?
No, yeah, I gotta tell you. Hi, it's Katy Perry.
Well, just Perry. In case you were confused.
Yeah. For a moment, it was as if Russell was in the room.
It was.
That was uncanny.
Yeah. No, it was interesting. I had written the song with the Gin and Juice reference, not knowing that he would actually go on the song. And
Snoop goes on every song. You know that.
No,
now.
I mean, I think he's a very diverse kind of guy. Yeah. You got. Like,
I think he wanted
like
to meet
Katy
Perry. That's what I think.
Yeah,
it's possible.
That's true. He got Drop It Like It's Hot.
Yeah.
He's got like what's the other one? Sensual Seduction.
Right.
So he could do pretty much anything he wants, and he hasn't gotten shot yet. Which
that's
is great.
True. That's true. That's all true. That's hard
I'm
to argue.
A little scared for my life. You know, doing the whole kind of like. West Coast representing, feeling
right.
like I'm going to have lots of security.
Because of the song California Girls?
Yeah. I mean, I just figure, like,
I know you
someone
and Kelly
has to
Clarkson,
be the new
you
Tupac.
You and Kelly Clarkson have a big feud now going on.
East
so,
Coast, West
you know,
Coast.
We do, yeah.
East Coast, West Coast. Might
oh,
be a drive-by
Kelly,
by Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. By
the way.
Can you imagine? Hey, since you've been gone. That's not funny, kids.
This California Girls, by the way, debuted on the Hot 100 this week, ladies and gentlemen, at number 2. That's where it entered the chart, was at number 2 in California Girls.
It's almost not fair.
But look, I know you're
a lot
just
of manipulation.
Yeah, all right.
I know you're just stopping by and you don't have much time, but I have to ask, Katie, how are you so hot? What's that about? I mean, my God, you're Maxim's Hot 100 number 1 this year. The list that just came out.
Well, you know what's so funny? I thought this was God speaking to me right now.
Yeah, where that voice was coming from?
Because I was like, where the hell is this?
Yeah.
Thanks,
please
God.
Please treat me appropriately.
Affirming.
God has noticed that you're number 1 on the Maxim. On the Maxim.
I think it's kind of like an early April Fool's joke, honestly.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I'm playing the humble card so people think I'm humble.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. No, I think it was kind of funny. I like that they threw a curveball in it, you know, because I've got the boobs and the butt, but you got to have the.
Yes, you do. You
brains.
Are so full of wind, Katy Perry. I got to tell you, I'm so
full of what?
Wind.
Wind.
He said.
Oh, wind.
Wind.
Yes.
Like wind loss.
And
oh, wind.
Yes.
Oh, thank
wind,
God. I was afraid Ben was like, what the.
The only complaint we've ever had about you, because we don't play your records on our show, but we love you so much. But the only complaint we've
show is this?
We will.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
The good one. Station? I'm just kidding. Come on.
The only complaint we've ever had is we don't want to see you get married, and I don't care to who, to anybody. We don't want to see you get married.
Well, it's not like I'm going to have sex with you, and I
but
not like
as
I ever
single,
plan
as long
on
as
having
you're single,
sex with you.
There's still a chance, though.
Yeah, we told
you. No matter how slim, there's still a chance.
I'm not going to have sex with you either.
Right. But as long as you're single, maybe somehow you hit
get
your head.
Drunk.
You get your head or something.
Roofied or something. Yeah. I don't know. Something could go wrong and you could just be desperate. You know?
Yeah.
No, not going to happen.
You know, that's why I'm naming the record Teenage Dreams, so that I can be in your cream dreams.
All righty then. Okay. Let me ask you the question another way then. Aren't you only like 24 years old or something?
I do feel like a little bit of a young Priscilla Presley. I'm not
you shouldn't be getting married is
I'm
what I'm
25.
Saying to anybody. Okay, 25 is too young to get married. Who's with me?
How old are you?
900.
I'm old enough to have gotten married, but I've
several times. Listen, several Abraham. Not everybody has to wait till 900 to have a child.
We love you and we worry about you. That's all I'm saying. We just don't want to see you make a big mistake.
Don't think I'm not worried about you that you're not even in the studio and you're on some kind of television screen from the 90s.
It's a legal issue.
So
if Katy Perry showed up more often, I'd live in California and be in the studio. Believe me.
It's a legal issue. He's not allowed.
You have worries about me. I've got serious worries about you.
You should.
Let's go. We're all concerned for each other's welfare.
We met Russell. Russell came in. He's a lovely guy. He's great.
He is a good
brilliantly
guy.
Brilliantly funny. Charming.
I think he's funny and he's like intense. He's really intense. To me, he's kind of like an Oscar Wilde meets Peter Sellers meets Jim Morrison meets Charles Manson.
That's a combo.
That's interesting.
It's going to take me a while to assimilate that.
Three dead and one murderer.
Yes, basically.
But you know, and I don't mean this as an insult, but you know you're the poster people for She's Too Hot for Him.
That's not true.
It is true.
However, Kevin, a lot of the ladies find Russell Brand very,
I know
very
they do.
A lot of them, and he's met a lot of them.
Yes, he has.
He has met.
He has put his work in, as we say.
A lot of them. Yeah. He was just being thorough, as
that's
he says.
That's all over now.
Thorough to find the right
but
one.
But now he's completely different.
Yeah, he's an extreme personality. You know, he had a big past with drugs and alcohol, and he's gone extreme to, you know, being sober. And he's just one of those extreme guys.
Are all the stories true that we hear about him being the girl in the relationship and planning the wedding and caring about the flowers and all the colors and that kind of stuff? Is that all true?
I planted all those
did
stories.
You? Did so they're you? Not true?
To throw us off the scent? That you're a bridezilla?
No, I'm not a bridezilla.
He's a bridezilla.
Yeah.
He's a groomzilla.
It's so much fun. I have a little bit of fun with him and plant these stories just because I can. And I have a lot of extra time on my hands,
You're not to be trusted.
No.
No.
Highly manipulative.
All right. Well, listen, we are out of time, but the beautiful Katy Perry, ladies and gentlemen, has stopped by the Kevin and Bean
Show.
California Girls is the song.
How dare you?
Teenage Dream is the new album coming this summer. You're going to be performing next month on the MTV Movie Awards,
naked.
Too, as I understand.
What?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. For Kevin and Bean.
I'd like to dedicate that to Katy Perry.
Yeah. Oh!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I miss Katy Perry so much already. Remember how much fun it was? Remember how pretty she was and how good she smelled?
Yeah.
How much I loved her?
She's still in the next room. We're still watching her.
Oh, I miss her so much. All right, last week. Hey, folks, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Last week, I was on vacation, but I still have the internet, and I came across something that was pretty awesome. Conan O'Brien recorded a video celebrating the 5-year anniversary of YouTube. YouTube's been around 5 years already. And he selected his 5 favorite videos of the first 5 years of YouTube. And I knew all of them, except for one. There's one I had not seen before. And I don't know how I missed the Winnebago Man, but apparently it's from a couple of years ago. This may be the most awesome guy I've ever seen in my life. I want to live with this guy.
He's
so awesome.
He is my dad. He's a guy doing a commercial for a Winnebago, and he can't get the script right no matter what happens. He can't remember the lines. He gets super frustrated. He starts over and over and over again, and he curses a lot. It's me at the Grammys.
He may not have been the best choice to record a television commercial. Is that what he's doing? Is it a TV commercial,
I think so.
Do you think?
Maybe an infomercial. I don't know, for a Winnebago, a big motorhome.
Yeah.
But thank God for Conan O'Brien for turning me on to this video, because I must have watched it 20 times since I first saw it. If you haven't seen it, we've got it up at kevinandbean.com. But you gotta check this out. I think we got some audio for what this dude sounds like.
Kevin's the Winnebago back. Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield, for f***'s sake. Oh, f***. What? What the f*** did I say? That didn't sound for did it? Know what the f*** I'm saying. Oh, f***. My favorite part. Oh, f***. Tony, do me a favor, will you please? Don't slam the door. No more. Now listen, I've got to give a clue here now. I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day.
Here's my favorite part, because he's the only one yelling.
Yeah.
Right, Scott. Right. Right? And then he says,
from anyone, that includes me. Want anybody yelling? We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the shit is going to hit the fan.
And they fit the needs of a very diverse buyer segment. Why can't I remember? I wrote this stuff. Why can't I remember it?
Man, why don't I say it right? What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
You know what else I love about this guy? And there are people to whom profanity isn't funny, so they may not find this funny. But he's not swearing to be funny. He's not swearing just for the sake of swearing. He's so incredibly frustrated that he wants to just punch a wall.
He hates
and
himself.
Pull his hair out. He hates himself so much. And you got to figure, he's filming a TV commercial. He's got, you know, people standing around, depending on him, waiting for him. Yeah. And it just, the worse he does, the worse it gets, and the harder it is for him to go on.
What is the goddamn line? I don't give a shit what the line is. I fucked up the word rear. I can't even read the VO straight. What the fuck was that?
We got flies all over the place.
Now there's flies out. It's an outside shoot, so there's right. flies. Now he's angry at the flies.
Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you fuck. Flies. There's a fly over the headlight, Tony. We got flies coming for us. Out of here, you flies. We got three flies. Five flies. Get out of here, you goddamn jackass.
He's talking to a fly.
I gotta read it again because my mind is just a piece this morning. God, I can't make my mind work.
Oh, that's so me, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This is my father. I want a DNA test.
I'm blinded by that hot light. Goddamn son of a bitch. What do you mean, one? I'm going to fall off the thing. Just keep running. Bullshit. I'm going to slate this. All right, I haven't got time to mark this mother. Here we go again. We can't hear anybody. Nobody can talk to anybody. Well, turn the thing off, you dumbass. Man, I'd like to kick your head in.
Come on.
Not even funny anymore.
Son of a bitch!
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It goes on for like 5 minutes.
I love that he, obviously he's the weak link here. He's the problem. But he can't, I mean, he says that, he owns up to it. But then he's got to start screaming it's the lights or it's the writing or it's the flies. He's always got to blame something. And we've all been there where we recorded something and we suck. And it's funny the first time you screw it up, and the second time, the third time, maybe the fourth time, it's still funny. Now you've got people standing around. You're at time 20.
Yeah.
And it's no longer entertaining that you're incompetent. And he is losing his mind at this point.
Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Oh, son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. What the hell's the line? What the is it? Can't remember the goddamn line. The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that? I don't know. It's just all gone. I get so goddamn diuretic when I sit here, and my mouth just never stops. Ain't worth it. Not this it ain't worth it.
The mini Winnie.
Did you hear him? It isn't worth it. It's not worth it.
Part of American tradition. And today, on the cutting edge of design and function in a Class C motorhome. You believe any of that
Wow. He's the best.
Go to kevinandbean.com and watch the whole thing unbeeped. 106.7, K-Rock, KROQ, at 940.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony? What is the goddamn line?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Monday, and it's time for our final look at the showbiz beat for today. Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Ralph, nice pull on Katy Perry a few minutes ago. Stop by. Sweet.
She dropped by to see me, and I said, why don't you come in and say hi to the guys? And she said, love to. So, you know.
Wait, she stopped by to see you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. We're buddies from way back.
Who knew?
Yeah. I collaborated with her on that song that we
did. Which one?
Which song?
Oh, the hell was it You're called? So where's the Oil the Hinge? What was it called?
I don't think she had a song called Oil the Hinge.
Well, no, it's still in the can. We haven't released it yet.
It's a new song that you're working on. I see.
I got to put a little auto-tune on my part.
I wasn't aware that you knew her, so I've... Nice surprise.
Oil the Hinge.
Strange title, though.
That's a euphemism.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to let you know what people are going to see over the weekend. Shrek Forever After was number one, $71.3 million. A disappointment. A disappointment for DreamWorks.
Wow.
And yet, not by anybody else. Iron Man 2 made a little over $26 million, made it number two. Robin Hood, Letters to Juliet, just right. That's the top five. MacGruber was sixth with a little over $4 million. Date Night, A Nightmare on Elm Street, How to Train Your Dragon, and Kites, a film from India, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, casting news today coming from Daily Variety. Glad to see Sam Worthington is working because the poor guy can't seem to get a job. Wait a minute. He starred in every action adventure movie in the past 2 years. Avatar, Clash of the Titans, of course, Terminator, Redemption, or whatever the hell that was. He is going to star as Alan Quatermain in the legendary action adventure book King Solomon's Mines.
Okay.
Sean Connery played the character, by the way, in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen film. And Richard Chamberlain gave it a shot in two films in the 80s, but this is a reworking of the story, and apparently it's one of the original action-adventure stories, and he will be playing Alan Quatermain. He was also a character on General Hospital, oddly enough.
Yeah, that's confusing to me, always.
I think that's where they stole the name from.
Hmm.
Weird story coming out of Hollywood Hills. Simon Monjak, who was the widower of Brittany Murphy, who died, of course, at 32 years of age 5 months ago, he was found dead.
Wow.
By Brittany's mom, Sharon. Found him in the master bedroom around 9:30 p.m. last night. Sharon's mom called 911. Police say, as of yet, the cause of death is unknown. But he was just 39 years old. And so they... not sure what happened there, but seems honked up, considering she just passed.
Yeah, that's strange.
Reality show news, congratulations to Bret Michaels. He is the Celebrity Apprentice. He appeared on the live finale last night despite having a hole in his heart and a brain hemorrhage.
Does that seem wise?
No.
Dude wanted to be on TV.
He admitted that his doctors didn't want him there and that he was endangering his health by showing up. In fact, while he was flying to New York City from Los Angeles to be in the live show, the private jet he was on had to make a stop in Dallas because he was in serious pain and they had to get medical help.
Wow.
He's insane.
Wow. But he won.
Well, yay.
Is it possible his bandana is too tight?
Oh, will you shut up?
I'm just saying. Maybe it's something as simple as that.
Maybe. I'm sure it is.
But it's not. Paula Abdul's getting her own reality show. Speaking of reality shows, Hollywood Reporter says she will be the lead judge on a new talent show on CBS called Got to Dance.
Okay.
Do we need another dance competition show?
No, we don't.
But we need drunk Paula.
We do need drunk Paula.
We do, but let's just give her a camera and a microphone. In a half an hour, just sit there and talk to me.
That's what the last one was when she said...
I'm tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am.
Tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am.
She's a gift.
Wow.
Lucky I kept the receipt. The competition will showcase all forms of dance, from ballroom to breakdancing to ballet to tap to tango, CBS says. Paula will be a coach and mentor as well as a judge and is the executive producer of the show as well. Well, there you go. That's why it's going to happen.
How do you compete ballroom dancing with breakdancing? How do you judge those two against each other?
I want to see a breakdancer and a ballroom dancer dance together. That's what I want to see.
I like it.
And so, you can do that or you can not do that.
That's a better choice.
Yeah. Those are the options. And remember 80s smash hit band Adam and the Ants?
Yes!
Of course. Adam is the lead?
Sure.
Yeah.
He is in an asylum, insane asylum.
Is that right?
Again? Yes, they have put him in the loony bin. Sanctioned under the United Kingdom's Mental Health Act, he was admitted to the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. Apparently, Adam went nuts and cursed out a church congregation during a charity gig.
Oh, boy.
Cranky.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not good.
Adam has made a statement asking his fans not to show up at the hospital because he said the staff is really nice.
And did he think they were going to break him out?
Maybe.
What did he think?
So his thing is not, he's not a drugs or alcohol guy, right? He's just cuckoo, right?
No, he don't drink, he don't smoke.
What do we do?
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Damn it.
Put it in the file. That was an alley-oop. That was the alley-oop of death right there.
He's bipolar. He has been diagnosed as being bipolar.
Well, give the brother some medication then.
I think that's their plan.
What they're doing.
They're not just going to lock him in a closet.
Right, but I'm saying he went through the, I remember 10 years ago when he was in, and then he came out and he said he was fine. He went back to touring. It seemed like everything was I mean, just adjust the dude's medication. That's what needs to be done here.
Why don't they listen to you, Bean?
Despite his health problems, apparently when he's on stage, he can still stand and deliver. So I think that's great that he's able to.
Oh, ow!
Kevin's pelting me now with things.
File.
He's not in the shape he used to be, though. No one wants to see him strip, that's for sure.
He still does that ant music, though, right? That's still his thing? File. Hey, it's tough being that guy. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
I'm going to leave.
F you both so much.
And while we enjoyed while we enjoyed Lost's series finale last night, people all over the world were doing the same. Interesting decision by ABC and Disney. They decided to show it all at the same time, or on the same day, or at least within 48 hours, in the 59 countries that Lost is currently airing.
Wow.
Because they wanted to avoid piracy. They didn't want someone burning a copy of it here in the States and then selling it overseas or vice versa. So by now, everyone will have seen the Lost finale. And
there are people in 59 countries confused by that show?
Can you imagine that show translated into a foreign language?
No.
That would be spectacular. I loved it last night. We didn't talk much about it later in the show, but I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
Bean, not so much.
Bean's bad.
It was fine. I'm glad it's over. I think the program had definitely run its course. I'm glad it's gone.
Wow. Well, I'm sure they'll be glad to hear that. Today's celebrity birthday is Heavy D. The rapper is 43 years old today. Actor John C. Reilly, one of my favorites, is 45 years old. Have you ever watched the Drunk History?
No.
On YouTube?
Drunk History.
Drunk History is a series where this guy, Derek Walters, gets one of his friends loaded and then asks them to recount a moment in history drunk.
Oh, I like have it. Seen that.
And then they take that story and they hire actors to reenact it to the narration, though. whenever the drunk person says a piece of dialogue, the actors have to mouth that.
That's funny.
They lip sync it. And it's hilarious. And there's a very funny one with John C. Reilly as Nikolai Tesla working for Thomas Edison, who is played by
Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover. That's right, yeah. Obviously, Mike has seen that. It's very entertaining. You want to check it out. John C. Reilly is 45 years old today. Alfred Molina, talented British actor, is 57. Very good in An Education, if you don't know if you caught that with Kevin Mulligan or not. Patti LaBelle, 66 years old today. Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong is 72. And Bob Dylan celebrates his birthday today. So, happy birthday, Bob. He doesn't look handy.
I don't know what that
is. Look a day older than him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Sarah Silverman in with Tig Notaro, I believe is how you say her name.
Yes.
The TV show named Tig and Friends. We also have Weenie Roast tickets for you tomorrow. We have Adam Sessler talking about video games.
Mm.
And Bean's influence is finally having an impact. We're doing Ask a Mortician.
Oh, fantastic.
Tomorrow.
Death.
I love that.
We're doing death.
Bean loves human death.
I thought we were doing Ask Morticia.
I thought
it was like an Adams Family break.
I wish. That would be so much better. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Our national nightmare is over.
But don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including The Sublime, also Silver Sun Pickups, Puddle of Mud, 30 Seconds to Mars, Cypress Hill, and more. All straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.